Hello, everyone, and welcome. Welcome to Office Hours Call. It's May 2019, and I'm excited to have you all here. Many of you, if not most of you, are new members of the Sweet Spot Solution. Some of you are people who have repeating Sweet Spot Solution or in our Energy Recharge Inner Circle. Some of you are in my NEPT, Nutritional Endocrinology Practitioner Training. Some of you are in the Body Balance Program, but are working on the Sweet Spot, the blood sugar balancing piece. For those of you who don't know what Body Balance is, it's actually a composite program that has all of our programs, pretty much all of our programs in one. It has Sweet Spot, blood sugar balancing, GRAND, which is digestion, adrenal, and thyroid, and the green cleanse. So it's all of those in one program, and that goes, it expands over like 9 months. Some of you just joined our Sweet Spot, and I'm just so excited to have all of you here. And as you know, there's an epidemic of blood sugar imbalance. And many of you are finding out that, you know, there's some surprises as you pull out your glucose meters and start to test. So the purpose of this call is to really pull you together. We're only about a week into our official start, which was last week. And I wanted to clear up a few things for the Sweet Spot people and also Body Balance people who are going through Sweet Spot and the ERC people who are going through Sweet Spot. Because a lot of people, I think there was a little confusion about the metabolic reset. And as we talked about on last week's calls, the metabolic reset is actually a phase of the full program. And the first month, what we do is we want to figure out what's really going on. So we give you lots of assessments you can do. We teach you how to test your own blood sugar, how to see what foods are affecting you and what foods are good for you. So that then starting in the second month, which would start on June 1st, we start our actual metabolic reset. So I saw a few comments from people saying, oh my God, I didn't know what to do. I already started the metabolic reset. I would say, breathe and know that you're welcome to start it early if you're ready to start it early. But we're really going to do it together as a group starting June 1. And we have messages that will go out every day for you. Those of you who are in Body Balance but didn't upgrade into the Sweet Spot Live component, you have all the access to all of this stuff. You still have access to doing the metabolic reset with us. You just go in there and press the button. The only thing you don't have is the extra calls that are Sweet Spot only calls and some of the extra bonuses that we added. But you guys have all the content in your site. So I just wanted everybody to know that. So don't freak it out. This month is all about testing. And if you're going, oh my God, my blood sugar went up to 150. Great. It's a learning opportunity. What caused that? Let's start to avoid that. So by the end of May, you're going to be really in a mode of knowing from testing. And if you're not testing your actual sugars, you're going to know from just from how you're feeling and tracking some of that that we teach you how to do. So I just wanted to make sure that was clear. Now, for those of you in the Sweet Spot, I created a form that you can fill in, and I've got like 6 or 8 of those that have come in, and we can go through those. Hopefully you're on the calls, and if not, if you can't make it to a call and you filled one of those in, I'll go through and do the best I can to answer your questions. But a lot of this is interactive, right? This is not a matter of one size fits all. A lot of it's interactive. So if there's anybody on the call right now who has a non-Sweet Spot related program, non-blood sugar balancing related question, go ahead and raise your hands now and we'll just take care of those, and you're welcome to stay the rest of the call. But if you feel like you've got your question answered and don't want to stay, then you can leave once you get your question answered, okay? And the same thing in the Q&A. Let's make sure that those questions go from the chat to the Q&A so Lynn can transfer them, or you can click the button that says Q&A. So I'm going to go back here, and I see 2 hands up. Kathleen, and I'm going to open up Kathleen from Pennsylvania. Hi, Kathleen. Oh, and I just want to say that anybody in Sweet Spot, you're going to hear other questions maybe related to other body parts that also pertain to you. You may have some digestive issues or some thyroid issues or some adrenal issues. People are going to be asking questions and you're going to learn a lot from that. You have a little bit of feedback on the line, Kathleen, but hi, Kathleen, how can I help you?
Hi. Can you hear me?
I can hear you just fine.
Well, that's great. I was wondering if there's some way to adjust the speed of your talking, or can I get closed captioning on replay?
So am I speaking too fast? Are you?
It's fast for me, but not for most people, I would assume.
Okay. So here's what I'm going to do right now is I have this little thing that does a voice transcription, and I'm going to hit it, and then we can include that transcription, which is computer transcription, so not perfect, but definitely will help you to go back to that. Closed captioning is not something we have any knowledge about how to do or that we have set up, but we can certainly include this transcription with it. Would that help?
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Where is the closed, the thing that you just added? Do I have
it on my end, and what we'll have to do is we will have to put the link to that transcript when it's done to go along with the replay.
Okay.
This is an audio replay, not a video replay. This is just audio. Yeah.
So we don't have to do anything.
Better? Is my speed better now?
Yes, it does sound a little slower. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to try. I will tell you it's hard. So I may step as I get excited and answer questions, but I'm trying really hard to slow down. Okay?
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Did you have a specific question, Kathleen?
No, I haven't even started testing my blood yet.
Okay, fantastic. All right, well, we'll get you going.
Okay.
And everything, know that all of the videos in the SpeechBot have video, audio, and transcript.
Great.
So you can read them all. Okay? Thank you for reminding me. Okay. All right. And Kamjeet? Hello.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Mary.
Hey.
So thank you for taking my call. So I have a few questions. So I had finished on Sunday my 40-day thing that I was doing. And, you know, it was good while I was doing it. So then for the last 3-4 days, now I've been eating. And
you did a 40-day?
Yeah. So I did the remember I did the meta.
The meta quiz, that's right.
Yeah.
Now I remember. Yeah, thank you for reminding me. Yeah.
Yeah. So I did that. So that was good. You know, it helped clear up a bunch of things. But now that I started eating, I'm like back to being puffy and bloated and pain again. So then I went through your documents again, like yesterday. And so I ordered a number of other things that you had mentioned. So that's what I have questions about. So I was thinking, I think I'm going to have to do it again, but this time I definitely can't do the MediClear because I'm kind of sick of that. I can't even take it down anymore.
Before you keep going though, I want to ask a couple of questions.
Okay.
This is critical, and this is critical for a lot of folks to hear. When you do some sort of a cleanse and you eliminate a lot of food, and she was just drinking a powdered, you know, drink mix, and that's a long time to do it for, and you start eating again, it's very important how you start eating, okay? So tell me, like, you did your 40 days, the next day you started eating, what time of day was it and what did you eat?
So I had gone in to identify based on all the list of what I could have, okay, because I have SIBO, Candida, and a bunch of things. So I started with red lentils because that was one of the things allowed for me. And then it said greens. So I got arugula, romaine, and some lettuce. I didn't start those yet. I made them as a soup as part of the lentil. So they were soft. So I had that. You asked me when did I start that. So I think I was excited to eat. So I started that maybe like 11 a.m. On Monday.
Okay. And then when you had this soup, how much soup did you have?
I had a good amount.
Like a couple of cups full?
Like maybe at least like a cup and a half or 2 cups. And, you know, I've been consuming it the last few days. Yeah.
Okay. So you made it in last few of the days. Now, let me ask you this. Did your symptoms come back? Were they digestive symptoms, the bloating or the joint inflammation and all that? That came back right away?
Stomach bloating.
And did that come back right away?
That started to come back right away. And today there's, you know,
I'm going to just keep stopping.
Okay. Yep.
Very specific information is what I need to be able to identify what might be going on in your body. When you say right away, do you mean within, like before you finished the meal? Do you mean within 15 minutes, an hour, 2 hours? What was it?
I think I looked at my stomach like right after I finished eating and there was bloating, but I wasn't feeling pain at that point.
And then how long before you felt pain?
The next day.
Okay. And then across that day, that was 11 a.m., mm-hmm. did you allow your body to just be empty again and then start again? Or how regularly did you eat that day?
I think like after maybe two and a half hours. So I kind of ate, you know, every couple of hours.
And you ate the same soup over and over?
Yeah. And I had like shredded, so I had made like two different parts of it. In one of them, I had made actually lima bean soup and the other one was this red lentil. And in the lima bean ones, I had put like shredded broccoli and Brussels sprouts and I had cooked those in there. So I was kind of going back and forth between the two.
Okay. So I'm going to just start here with, you know, starting after you've been empty and doing a cleanse, starting with a legume. Mm-hmm. It's one of the harder things to digest.
Mm.
All right. I would have probably started with either lightly steamed or raw veggie, but probably lightly steamed because of your issues with the SIBO and everything else. I would have probably started with just some plain steamed vegetables, like two different kinds at the most. Because when you're starting to introduce foods and then you get a symptom back, you don't know what it was, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was it the lentil? Was it the arugula? Was it the romaine? And was the romaine in the soup? You cooked the romaine into the soup?
Yeah, cooked everything into the soup.
And then lima beans are also hard to digest. And, you know, and broccoli and Brussels sprouts can be on the harder side. You know, they're not the easiest to digest. So I would have probably started with, like, steamed zucchini, or something, you know what I mean? Like a real easy kind of thing. See how your body does and then go in a couple of hours later, try one other food and then another food. Because I know you're, you know, oh, I got to eat. I can't wait. But the whole point of the detox is to cleanse you, clean you, and then to be able to slowly add things back. So when you said, I have to do this again, yeah, but not for 40 days, okay? So what we always call it going back to ground zero, right? So you had this really good response when you were doing
mm-hmm.
it. Really sick and tired of the Mediclair, and yeah, you can try something else, right? But if you go too fast after you've done that, you're going to have to just stop and let it go again. So I would say just stop for a couple of days just to see how you feel. And once you start to feel better, once your belly is not bloated and painful anymore, then you start again, but you start really slowly. Does that make sense? You can always freeze your soup for later because soups last that way. You know, freeze them, put them in serving size containers and put them in the freezer. And then when you're ready to test legumes again, you do. But I would start with the veggies. And then you can start with, if you're looking at the sensitivities, you were 40 days without all these foods. So chances are good that individual foods are going to be better for you, that you're not going to have this issue. Because the Mediclear, for anybody that doesn't know what it is, it's a protein powder, but it also has leaky gut healing and detox and all kinds of other nutrients in there to support the healing. Right? But legumes it may not be a sensitivity to legumes. It's just very complex to break down after your body was not used to even having to make enzymes for that long. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Right. So that's what I would do. Now, some of the other stuff, ask me the questions about the other stuff.
Okay. So what I was thinking was that instead of for 40 days, in going back and reading your documents, you had mentioned 4 glasses a day of cabbage juice, right? So I was thinking, well, what if I did that for like a week, What do you think of that?
Well, you got to check it out first, right? So the first thing I would do is go back to ground zero. Like, if overnight, did you get better? Did the bloating go down and the pain go away?
No, no. I'm still bloated. Yeah, I'm still bloated. But the good part of this whole thing of eating was it allowed me to go. Remember, I was having difficulty even taking, yeah. So it helped me go. So that was good.
Good.
But the bloating hasn't gone away. Yeah.
It hasn't gone away yet. Okay. So you're going to have to go, you know, off of food for a bit, right? Okay. So I would go to something liquid. You know, cabbage juice you can try, but don't like start with 4 quarts of it because it may not work for you, right? And too much cabbage juice can inhibit thyroid function. Okay. So I don't remember having 4 cups of cabbage juice in my document, but you'll have to show me where that is. I would say juicing could be helpful.
Okay.
And I would be more likely to vary it.
Okay. So I could do that. And one of the things you had mentioned was arugula, beets, and spinach. So if you have candida, could I just still include some beets in my juicing?
Yeah, so I wouldn't.
If you have
candida or if you have blood sugar imbalance, so I would not. Arugula and spinach, sure, but you don't want to do too much on the spinach side because of oxalates.
Yeah.
So you don't want to develop a sensitivity to oxalates. Where are you getting this from? Because I don't remember a beet.
Oh, so that's in module 2.
Yeah.
It's in module 2. I actually have the documents up. So you've got 2 documents there that I got this stuff from. Do you want me to tell you really quick?
What's the name of the document?
Okay, hold on. Okay, so one of them is called the 30-day detox. Yeah, 30-day leaky gut detox. So that's one of the ones I'm looking at. And then the other one is the one called... where is it? It's called Healing Regimes for Your Gut. So those are the 2 that I'm using right now. And one of them talks about the 4 glasses of cabbage juice. And the other one.
I'm going to go review those.
Yeah.
And I am going to Facebook you with some additional, like what I think you should do right now, because I think I need to review that to see what context I was saying that in. Because doesn't sound like something that I'm maybe still promoting, and I may need to edit that book.
Okay.
Okay. But there is something, if you know, beets are really good for like people who have, fat problems, fat, but they're very high in sugar. And there are some companies now that are doing like fermented beet, powder.
Mm-hmm.
Fermented beet juice powder. So that might be an option as well. But I think let me think about this and let me look at those docs and then let me do I'm going to make a note. You're on Facebook, right? I can just say yes and do, and get some. I'll probably post it in the Body Balance, Facebook group just so that, you know, other people who may be going through some more things could, also benefit. Okay.
Yeah.
This is Lynn.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the 30-day leaky gut protocol. And what she's talking about, it's under the gut detox next 5 days after you do the first 2 days of liquid, is the nitric oxide veggies, an arugula salad once or twice a day with spinach leaves and grated beets. Is that?
Yeah.
Am I?
All right.
That
we'll look through this afterwards. And look through that and make sure, because it may be misunderstanding or maybe it's just misrepresented in there, because I just don't remember talking about B2s.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think.
Okay. Yeah.
Thank you. Type into the chat and let Lynn know what page you're seeing that on. Okay. And then we'll look at that.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Rita.
Thank you. Bye-bye. All right, So we have a 448 number, and then I'm going to go and review some of the people. So I'm going to call out names of people who have submitted their stuff in advance, and then we'll go through that. So 448, I don't know, 448009. If you have your hand up, go ahead and say hi.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
It's Lee.
Hello,
it's Lee in the UK.
Oh, Lee. Hi.
Hello. Thank you for answering the call. Dr. Rita Marie, I've got a quick question. I'm in digestive mastery and sweet spot. But when I was working my way through the digestive mastery, and I quickly tried to open the tab to see it, I can't remember, it might have been module about 14 or something. It was relevant to vitamin C tolerance. Do you recall?
And
I just wanted to ask you, I mean, I know the benefits of vitamin C, but I just wondered, I think I mentioned before that actually I personally use liposomazy, and I'm actually, I can't get to any level, even I'm about 2.5 mil is all I can get to. But I just wondered if I'm doing that with anybody, because I do have a few people that absolutely are showing that they would benefit from vitamin C. As I read through it, I was just a little bit confused with the way it panned out. So, firstly, what type of vitamin C, the buffered C, you prefer to use in a powdered form?
It should be in that document, and the one that document was based on was PERQ, PERQUE, buffered C.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, but I'm guessing when you work through it, what I'm trying to say is, I guess I was trying to work out the real benefit of getting them to tolerance, and obviously once they got loose bowels and whatever, we knew we'd reach tolerance, but why would you use that? Is there a reason?
Bowel tolerance, because that's when, like, if people are under bowel tolerance, they're using whatever they've got. They're not actually doing all the functions the vitamin C could. But once you get in and you use as much as the body needs, then you're going to poop it out. So it just is, when you're significantly below bowel tolerance, you're not able to actually do all the things that your body needs the vitamin C for. I would highly recommend that you go look at Russ Jaffe, J-A-F-F-E.
Yes, yeah.
And the original paper that I adapted that from was by him, and he's been studying it. He's an MD, and he does a lot of functional lab testing as well. And he's been, he's the one that put together that protocol, and he's been using that for decades. And I've been using it for decades, quite frankly.
What was his name again, sorry?
Jaffe, J-A-F-E-E. And it should be in that document.
Oh.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. Okay, because my name's Jaffe as well. Do you remember I said that?
Oh,
it's quite
that's
funny,
right.
That I...
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. All right. I'll go.
Yeah,
look.
And
I didn't...
for everybody's reference, if you're on this call and you're a health coach, this call is actually just for people, just for asking questions about your own health, not other people's health. We have our INE office hours that you can come and ask that for.
Sorry, dog. For my own or for others?
Dog, stop.
Sorry.
Yeah, so this is, I don't know where. Quiet. Somebody was at the door, probably delivery.
Oh.
I'm going to text my husband and tell him he better take care of the dog. Okay. Looks like she stopped. All right.
Sorry. So this one's from my
clients
or for me?
Clients. This is just for yourself. So if you have questions about your own health, that's what this calls for. But if you want to ask questions about your client's health, that's what the INE office hours call this for.
Okay, yeah. No, this was for me because I said I'm struggling with C. I know that I'm very low on C, but I can't actually get it into me in any amount.
Even with the liposomal. Yeah.
Pardon?
Even with the liposomal.
Yeah, and then so they say take it on an empty stomach, but then the only way it doesn't give me a headache is to actually take it with some food. And even
I
then
just
I can't
wonder if
beyond.
There's a compound in there. Did both vitamin C's give you that same result?
If I take there's a company here called BioCare, which has got it's a Ascorbate, and it's got bilberry in it as well, I can take that, but the maximum that is in is 500 milligrams in a capsule. I can take that, but that's the maximum I can take as well before I get a headache. Whereas if I thought I'd try liposomal, thinking that actually it might not have to go via the digestive tract and it might help it. But no, that's 2.5 mil. That's all I can take.
All right. Then that's what you're going to have to do, right?
Yeah.
Unless you were to look into IV infusions of vitamins. And even then it might give you, it may be something in that ascorbate molecule that's a problem. And so we have to always look at, you know, there's guidelines, right? And then there's us. And we have to just be able to adapt that.
Yeah.
We can't necessarily take, I know people who B vitamins, they can't take B vitamins without getting severe headache, anxiety, except in teeny tiny amounts. And what they do is like a homeopathic dose, they'll take a B vitamin capsule, dump it into a tincture bottle, fill it with water, shake it up, and then take a few drops a day. And they get results from it. So your body may just be going in a different way saying, okay, we've reached tolerance here.
Okay, yeah.
For whatever I know
methylation's bad, but as I say, it's really quite frustrating when I can't take any methyl thing at all or anything that seems to just push the liver, I think is what's happening.
It could be, do you have any oxalate issues? Too much vitamin D can stimulate oxalate issues.
Mostly since the food poisoning, I've got issues for most foods. I could eat anything before, but now oxalate and definitely thiols, which I've now just got the molybdenum to actually try and introduce that in tiny amounts. But yes, there's also it's all sorts
I would work within your own tolerance level. So take what you can, take as much of the liposomal is probably the easiest on your system way. Okay?
Yeah, okay. Right. And just keep working with it. Okay. All
right. Thank you. Bye bye.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
All right. So the way we ask questions on these calls is you raise your hand, start to. I'm going to shift over, and I'm going to answer questions, and I'll call your name. If you're on the call, I'll raise your hand, and we'll open up your line. There's a whole – there was like 7 or 8 people, I think, that submitted, 1, 2, 3, maybe 10 or 12. So I'm going to look at these. And is that the one? That's not the sweet spot one. Wait a minute. Oh, yeah, here we go. Got it. All right, so we have, I'm going to put these in the date order so I can do them in reverse order for what they came in. And do we have, there's no name here. That's my test. I'm going to get rid of that one. Got an R. All right, so 4:30. So we have Lynn, that was a test. I'm going to get rid of that one. Then there was me as a test. Okay, so there may be just 7. Okay, Heather. Is Heather on the call? It's Heather, if you're on the call, raise your hand. Otherwise, I'm gonna see what your specific question. Okay. Heather, are you on the call? There we are. Hi, Heather. Okay, I'm gonna open your line. Hi, Heather. Heather, I can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay.
Yeah, I can. Hi.
Hi. I was thinking you had to see me. Write something. I'm at my target weight, and as I've been working through and kind of cleaning up my diet, I'm starting to dip below what my target is. I know that's not everybody's issue, but you had mentioned in one of your earlier presentations that you would address that. Do I just like increase the amount of healthy nuts and fats? I mean, what's a good way to keep my weight?
Yeah, great question. So what are your symptoms or blood sugar? So there's not, you don't have any particular like diagnoses or particular issues that we're addressing, right? You just
I have hypothyroidism, and I felt like I had blood sugar issues that had never been addressed. My A1C was 5.5 4 years ago. It's now 5.2. And I wanted, after listening to your presentation, I thought, you know, I think I can do better. I've been using blood type O diet, and that got me in the right direction as far as getting rid of a significant weight gain that I had through menopause and not having thyroid support. But once I got to my target weight, it's kind of like, that's fine. And then the last couple of days when I've been doing the testing, the first 3 days over a week ago, my tests were all over the place. The blood sugar levels were going up and down and up and down and not in concert. And I did send you that data. Yeah, and then the last 2 days, they've been really steady. Good. I haven't gone above 110. I've been shocked. But I've also dropped a couple pounds, which I wasn't too pleasantly surprised to actually have happen.
Okay. So, yeah, so you've identified lots of, you know, it sounds like wine and steak are the things that raised your glucose in combination. It looks like your ketones, you're in a mild ketosis with a 0.9. Your highest had been a 128, but now you're saying you're not going above 110. So that's good. So it needs, generally speaking, it's eating a little bit more and might be higher fat to just give you the extra calories. So unless you have, like, you've had your gallbladder removed or you have any specific things that would preclude that, adding extra fat, I would say healthy fats, add some more avocado, some olives, some coconut, and then, you know, just keeping that in check, right? Watching to see how that goes.
Okay.
Sometimes people, when they do go below the weight, they do have to work on, you know, an additional, like, eating four times a day instead of three times a day.
Ah, okay.
Right.
I haven't been hungry, so it's been great.
Oh.
I've been able to do the 4 to 5 hours, no problem.
That's the thing about, you know, and that's one of the shifts that I do make with people who are underweight. People who are overweight have cover your ears, but more frequently because it does increase insulin a little bit, you know, but you have to make sure you're eating good foods. The low-carb foods aren't going to raise you, and that would be fine.
Okay,
down weight loss for folks who are overweight, so don't do it. Looks like you're going to bed, you know, so you're sleeping maybe 11, 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,
that's,
you know, seven hours-ish.
Ish, but it's not consistent yet. That's an area that I need to work on.
Okay, and is it not consistent because you're not getting bed early enough, or is it not consistent because you're not sleeping through the night?
I'm not sleeping through the night, and I'm not sure. I think my hormones are changing because I'm waking up with a hot flash in the middle of the night.
Okay. And you're
69. Yeah.
You're just trying to go through menopause? Girl,
been through it, done it, thought I was over it.
Okay. Yeah, so there's a lot of things. Have you always had sleep issues, or is it more related to shifting on the diet?
I don't know.
Okay. You haven't had trouble? I mean, is this the first time you've had sleep issues, or have you had sleep issues?
Oh, no, that's a long time history of sleep issues. Yeah.
All right. And do you do any herbs or anything at bedtime?
Yes, I have. I use magnesium cream.
Mm-hmm.
And I have some herbs for joint pain, which has diminished since I've lost my weight. I don't know if I still need those or not, but.
Mm-hmm. And I will say, you're oftentimes your body will find its weight. So I wouldn't worry about losing a couple of, you know, pounds.
Okay.
And then, like, if you start to get down to like 100 and below 115, then, you know, but it's not
right.
It's not a problem with being underweight as much as being overweight, right?
Yes.
As long as it's healthy weight. And, you know, and I would exercise and make sure you keep up your muscle mass. So whatever exercises you can do, whether it's weightlifting, whether it's push-ups, body weight exercises, that's really important for people who are underweight trying to keep on weight because muscle weighs more than fat.
Sure. That's good point.
Muscle in its place. So I wouldn't be concerned about that.
The other question I had is one that others might have too, is I've been initially going into my testing before it nicely leveled up for me. It was so many tests. I think I went through 3 vials of the Keto Mojo strips like in 2 days. Looking at my pattern, can you detect when would be the optimum times for me to check just so I wouldn't have to be using quite so many tests?
Yeah, so, you know, one question I think I should add to this is, where do you usually see your peak? At what point after a meal do you usually see your peak?
And that's what I was having a hard time answering, because they came, it definitely seemed like there was a dip at a half an hour out to 45 minutes out, and then it seemed to rise at an hour. But then there was one day where it was at 3 hours that there was a rise.
Okay, so rise versus, so I'm going to explain what peak would mean, right? So say you were plotting this on a graph, and your sugar was 85, 92, 108, 96, 87, right? Wherever that highest number you saw happened, that would be the peak.
Okay. So then I would just look at where those peaks are and take the average of all of those peaks.
Yeah, and if they seem to be within a, you know, within a range, I would say, like, if sometimes it's a half hour, sometimes it's 2 hours, then you have to keep testing to figure it out. But you'll probably figure out pretty quickly that it's at a certain amount of time unless you eat, like, you know, a high sugar meal, and then it goes up really quickly and comes down really quickly. But that, you know, if that's the case, then approximately that time. So you may go, if the soonest you ever saw a peak was at 30 minutes, then there's no need to test at 15. If the soonest you ever saw a peak was at 45, there's no need to test before that.
Okay.
Yeah. Then we try to conserve the strips.
Yeah. Exactly. Okay. And my hand, although it's been fine with the Genteel.
Oh, you got the Genteel, yeah. I just had it in mind. I'd lost it for a while and didn't know where it was. And I'm like, oh, I got it back. Yay.
Yeah, that's been great. Okay, so I think you've answered my question.
If you started at a hemoglobin A1C of 5.6 and it's 5.2 now, and your ketones are, let me see where the ketones are. You wrote a couple of them down.
I think I only wrote one down.
You just wrote one down. Yeah, the 0.9. Yeah. Yeah. Average so far, 0.9. Yeah. I would say that's good. That's mild nutritional ketosis. You wouldn't want to get your ketones much higher than that because that will trigger more fat loss. For those of you who are overweight, get your ketones. Right?
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good level.
All right. That's good to know. Piece of information I didn't have. I'll do a little more monitoring with that. Yeah. And so you were saying that when there's a high sugar meal, that's when I see that really rapid spike?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
So if you sat down and ate, like, you know, I don't know, pineapple, it might go up much quicker than if you sat down and ate, you know, arugula with the avocado on top.
Right. Okay. I'll go back and look at my meal where I did that and try to figure that one out then. Okay.
And there's a graph in one of the Excel sheets if you're an Excel user, and some people aren't, so that's why we put a PDF you can just print. But there is a graph that you can actually put your numbers in and see where you're peaking.
Really? Okay. Yeah, I can use Excel. I will do that.
Okay, cool. And what I would do is, because there's just one sheet of it, if you want to do multiples, I think, well, maybe we have like five, so you can track a week or something. But you can just do a right-click and then, say, duplicate that tab, and then you have as many as you want to in that one spreadsheet. And
you can keep adding tabs. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, exactly.
And that resource was in?
It's in the glucose testing module.
Okay.
Where we have the tracking documents.
Okay. I'll find it. Great.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay. How about Christine? Is Christine on? I'm going to call a few names, and you guys can cue yourself up. I'll just call everybody's names that I have a thing for. I have Christine. I have Heather, who I just did. Let's see. Denise. Let's see. Heather. It looks like I have two from Heather. Christine, Heather, Bijana, Tina, Karen Lawrence, Barbara, Binderup, and Denise. Again, I mentioned Denise. Okay, so let's see whose hands. So raise your hand, star two, if any of those. Karen, I see you. And if any of you heard your name called, go star two on your keypad or do the raise hand button. And I see Karen, and I'm just going to raise your hand. And then I will see if there's anybody else I noticed here. Yeah, I don't see. anybody obvious who might still be there. All right, so I'm going to open up a Karen. Karen, hi. Karen, I hear you. I hear you clinking. No? Maybe it's somebody else that's clinking. Karen, okay. Let's see. I'm trying to flip back and forth between screens. So I hear somebody clinking. So let me see if it's you or somebody else. Heather. Okay, Heather. I'm going to turn Heather's off. Okay. So, Karen? Otherwise, I'm just going to go to the chat and we'll answer questions. And then if you have a question, then I'll check your chart. All right. So chat, no question, Q&A. All right. So we have.
Just so you know, Bill Donna is here, but she's on broadcast. So,
okay. So you have a question. Bill Donna, put her question in the Q&A, and then I'll answer her question based on her sheet.
Okay. And I'll just take this moment to make sure people understand if you want to actually talk with Dr. Rita Marie, you need to be on either a web call or on the phone. And if you're on the phone, that's where you click star 2 on your telephone keypad. Otherwise, there is a raise hand function below that middle screen part area. Where it might just say your name and where you're from and you're connected and that type of thing. You cannot talk if you're on broadcast. And if you're not seeing broadcast, and I'm not sure why you're not, you just can't talk to Dr. Rita Marie.
Yeah, you can put it in the Q&A and I'll answer, but you can't actually be heard. Yeah.
Right.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. I have Michelle from Queens. Hey, I grew up in Queens. The question
you is... You actually have Karen Bryan open. Karen,
what?
Karen Lawrence.
Karen Lawrence is not answering, so.
Okay.
Until she answers, I'm going to move on. Yeah. Keep her line open. Well, or not. Close it now. When I'm finished here, we'll open it again. Or Karen, yeah. So Michelle has a great question. I'm saving for a dehydrator. Aren't heating plastics a concern? Heating plastics are definitely a concern. But you're not actually heating in the dehydrator. You're only going up to like 100 and at the most 18 degrees. So that's not an issue as far as I'm concerned. What about a cheaper dehydrator made in China instead of Excalibur? I haven't checked those, but if you can get a stainless steel dehydrator, go for it. You know, whether it's from China or the U.S. I know there are some here in the U.S., but they're much more expensive than the Excalibur. Yeah. We do our best. And to me, you know, having the ability to make foods in the dehydrator, like breads and stuff like that and crackers, I don't see that there's a big concern. Sure, I'd rather have stainless steel, but right now I don't. And same thing with those sheets, the plastic sheets. Instead of those, they actually sell pieces actually cut to size, parchment paper, or you can use parchment paper as the sheets instead. Yeah. Question 2, morning glucose is 120 to 140 on the mini, no matter what I eat. So it would be problematic if I can never have fruit. How about fruit powders instead? I can't make the last call. Okay. So here's the thing. It's all temporary, guys, right? So it depends on your goals. If you want to be healthy and you want to reduce your risk of heart disease and cancer and you want to reduce your risk of diabetes and you want to get everything under control, then the sacrifice that you may have to make for a whole month is to avoid fruit. Fruit powders are probably worse than fresh fruit. In fact, I know they are because they're more concentrated in the sugar. So you find what you do is, since your morning glucose is 120 to 140, you're already diabetic, right? We need to reverse this. So what you're going to go for is all the foods that keep your glucose after the meal within, say, 25 points of where it started. So if you started at 120 and you have a meal and you have some blueberries and your sugar goes up to 135, no worries, right? If you're at 140 and it goes up to 155, no worries, right? Because you're not going to be able to keep it at fasting all day long, no matter what you do, unless you just do water. So you want to look at that range. And you got to look at, like, what foods make it go up more than those 25 points. Now, if it's everything, right, if it's everything, then you're going to have to find that stable ground. And what I recommend is that forget the testing. Forget it if everything's making it go up. Go to the Metabolic Reset at a Glance page that has green, yellow, and red columns, and just eat from the green, right? And then you can just do that for the 30-day metabolic reset and then start testing after. But continue to test your fasting glucose. Continue to test it periodically throughout the day. Continue to test at night just to see if you see that trend of it going down, okay? That's what I would recommend, Michelle. And Heather, I already answered your question. Nice to talk to you. We have Marila from Berkeley. She did this in advance. So my husband and I just started implementing the course. Went for an office visit to the physician. We shared for the three blood tests before I heard the call where you explained that the blood sugar levels can be temporarily high due to exercising on an empty stomach. That's what we did. My fasting glucose came in fine at 89, but his was 142. Although his hemoglobin A1C was just barely in the high range, it was 5.8. The physician is puzzled and concerned and sent my husband to a referral to a hematologist. We want to know before he follows that advice, why would my husband's score have spiked after exercise but not mine? Great question. He did drink heavily for 40 years until 1997. But not since. He's now 80, and we're very happy about him finally beginning to lose weight. Not medically obese, but trying to lose 15 to 20. Finally lost 9 pounds this month. Me, much better than anyone.
Her hand is great.
Oh, Marila, she's on the call. Okay, good. Yeah. Okay, and I'm looking to see if, okay. Hi there.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Great question. Great question. You know, everybody's a little different. Right. And for him, the level of exercise he did put him over the threshold and into a stress response on the body. You may have a higher threshold of where the stress response on your body is, where your body begins to say, this is heavy duty exercise.
Yes. He had a hip knee replacement last year, and a month before that he fell and broke his femur. So he had two operations. So he's still rather stiff. And this was sort of all-inclusive, sort of, it was Miranda Richards, Miranda Evans.
Like aging backwards or something like that. Is that the one? No?
Oh, what's that?
I thought her program was called Aging Backwards.
But yes, but she has a free show on PBS called, Stretching. It's about stretching, mostly.
Yeah, so I would say that he needs to really look at the level of exercise. If he tests his blood sugar and then he exercises, he's going to have to do the same thing that a lot of us are doing for food. He's going to have to do it with exercise and find his sweet spot when it comes to how much exercise. And it may feel like a little wimpy, right? But he's going to have to do that to get it under control for a while. And it could have to do with the drinking for a while, and it could have to do with, you know, maybe some fatty liver. And the liver is unable to mobilize the stored glycogen, and so it's going to, the stress response.
And will it stay that way? Is that liver condition set? He can't do anything about it?
With the fatty liver? Not necessarily. There are things that he can do, and I think part of it is doing this program the way we're laying it out. And he can actually change that. We've had people reverse their fatty livers.
Oh, good.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's just, we all have to find that sweet spot for ourselves, you know, and your exercise may be just fine if you do that other, and his was not.
Well, is 142 outrageously high?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's high. Well, where did he start from? Let me look back at your notes. Where did he start at? You don't say where his start. His fasting glucose came up fine. My fasting glucose, his was 142. So we don't know. We'll have to take his glucose on a test on a day that he hasn't exercised.
Uh-huh. Right.
And see what it is and compare it. So typically it's like 85 or 90, and after exercise it was 142. Yeah, that's high. It's very high.
Uh-huh.
Is that making sense? Like,
yeah.
He has, his hemoglobin A1C is 5.8. which means that his average glucose is probably around 119, 120. That's the average. So he is having high spikes, and he might have some lower during the night. So I think you need to do some testing to see what he is first thing when he doesn't exercise. Do you have a glucose meter?
Do I have what?
Does he have the glucose meter?
No.
Yeah, I think in this particular case, a lot of times I tell people, you know, it's optional, but I think in this particular case, he needs to get one.
Okay, what's it called?
Well, in the program, we have the Keto Mojo.
The what?
It's Keto Mojo. It's a combination. Glucose, yeah. Glucose and keto meter. But in the program on the glucose page, glucose testing page, there's actually a chart, and it lists some others as well.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, I would say for him, though, given it was 142, he may always have it. I mean, that may be his fasting glucose on average, but you don't know. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah. And he's got, what was your hemoglobin A1C? Do you have yours?
Mine was, Ninety.
Not your fasting. No. That was your glucose. What about your hemoglobin A1C?
Oh, they didn't do me. They didn't think I needed it.
Yeah. Well, this is the problem, right? This is where I get like a little bit irate. You need to get yours done, and he should get his fasting insulin done. And a hematologist seems a little bit
excessive, huh?
Excessive. Yeah. 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 Let's do some basics. Let's get the glucose meter, start to have him test every morning, and then start to look at what we've laid out in terms of testing after meals to figure it out.
Do you have to have a prescription to get it?
No. Anybody can get one. You can get them on Amazon. You can get them at Walgreens. You can get them at any place.
This
yeah.
is how our system works. You see, they won't do one test, but they'll send it to a hematologist. You know, that's going to be a lot more than the test that we're asking.
Oh, of course. Right.
Stupid.
It is. Go through, how much have you done of the program so far?
Not that much. I mean, we eat pretty well, and this is the main thing that I was concerned about.
I don't mean in terms of how much you've done, like in terms of food, you know, you're probably doing well, but there's fine tuning that needs to happen. But in terms of going into the website where we have everything laid out, you're in sweet spot, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So go into the glucose testing page, and there's a assess yourself page,
uh-huh,
and then the glucose testing page. And that'll be what you need to know to start to really track this and take charge of your own health.
Yes.
Okay?
Okay. So the glucose is on the sweet spot. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Petra, in the announcement of this coming Q&A hour, the email was written 4:30 p.m. Eastern time. That is European time. No, that's Eastern time. All of our stuff is in U.S. time. And then we have an international interpreter. We should have that. Lynn, make sure that that's being put in there, the time zone converter. All right. Let me see. I see a couple of other hands up, and then we'll come back to Petra. Okay, Petra did hers before this, so we'll go. She's in the Netherlands, so she's not on the call right now. I have a question about organic and non-organic food. Live in the Netherlands. We don't have much of a choice for unsprayed. There's a lot of choice when it comes to berries, blueberries, strawberries. It's very expensive. I've heard that non-organic seeds, chia seeds, come from China where the rules aren't that strict. What do you recommend? I say chia seeds are easy to get organic. You can go online and order them. Buy organic, non-organic berries, so at least I have the benefit of some of the antioxidants, are better only to eat at times. So I would say check out the Environmental Working Group, EWG.org. There's the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, right? The Clean 15 are the ones that you can safely eat that are not organic. The Dirty Dozens are the ones that don't eat them unless they're organic. And anything in between, you know, you can preferably get organic, and if you can't, then go for it. So you said that you can get, oh, yeah. Yeah, so we all have to, you know, yes, organic food costs more. but losing your health costs more than that. So we really need to look at that and go to the Dirty Dozen Clean 15. That will give you some good information there. Chia seeds, pretty easy to get organic online. Angelica just officially started my gut healing journey, trying to adjust upper GI, cut out foods that bloat me, and sticking to a mainly raw food diet of greens, moderate amount of plant fats. I digest so well in those foods, but I've added Yam Gut Rejuvenator, DGL mixed with Slippery Elm, plus two Transformational Digest. As soon as I ate one cooked potato and pinto beans along with my raw green meal, I stopped having regular bowel movements. Pretty typical for me when I introduced cooked starches, but I was hoping my new protocols would help me. I think you haven't been on them long enough. So yeah, eventually they may, but I think that, you know, that's the way your digestion is now, and we need to optimize it. What do you suggest I add at this point? Check to see, I would say check to see if you've got the same intolerance to like steamed vegetables. Try that. But I think you're going to build up your digestive strength as you're doing this so that you can tolerate those things. I personally don't tolerate the starchy foods just because of my genetic tendencies to insulin resistance, and so I don't even bother with them. You can add some resistant starches. You can try with the potatoes. You can take the potatoes and you can put them in the refrigerator. And this is a topic we'll be talking about in the next couple of weeks in Food Spot, is the concept of resistant starches. But I want you guys to just do what you're doing right now and start testing everything, and then we'll go back and talk about some resistant starches, especially for those of you who are underweight, because it's a way to get additional calories if you can. But you basically take the potatoes, you cook them, and then you stick them in the refrigerator for 24 hours, and then the starch should be easier to digest. Start with very small amounts. And I would take extra amylase enzymes when you're taking anything with starch. And yeah, she asked, is the answer simply to cut out the foods that harm my digestion for a good month? At least, yes, at least. You need that time for healing. Karen, okay. All right, this is good. Karen, I've been asking her to open her line. I've filled out the form, but I didn't put anything in the comments. I should have. So on the Keto Mojo website, I found the GKI Glucose Keto Index Calculator, and I plugged my numbers in.
Karen has actually got her hand raised. She's in Olney, Illinois. Yep, so she called in. She was before on the
web call. Yeah, I did open her earlier, but
and so it's one that's
Karen. Hi. No, she's on the web call. She's in there twice. I'm confused. Only okay, so that's her as well. Okay, let me open that one up. Karen, is that you?
Hello?
Karen, hi.
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 Yeah, I had problems getting on the web thing, so I was only on the live broadcast, and she said to call in. So,
yeah. So
I left connected. Pardon?
I said I'm glad you're here.
Thank you. So am I.
All right. So what's your question? So I don't have to read it. You can tell me what your question is. All right. The keto index thing, glucose keto index.
Mm-hmm.
GKI was 9? No, that's wrong. What? Can't be.
Yeah, it was the first time I put it in, see, it was at 9. And it said it was low ketosis, mild, or, you know, very, very low.
Oh, that's right. So that's not even ketosis. I consider ketosis when it gets much lower than that. So I really target for... Oh, wait, did you put in the 81 or did you put in...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I put it in 3 times.
Okay.
And...
Because you put it in the Stanford International units. Oh, wait, you got glucose down to 52 and ketones. Yeah, there you go. Okay, you did. They converted it properly. So glucose 81, ketones 0.5, that's not even really much in the way of ketosis.
No.
425, you got to glucose equals 52. Wow. And ketosis, mm-hmm. Are you fasting or did that just go from the diet?
It's just, I mean, I wasn't even trying.
Holy cow.
And that's my question. See, I wasn't even trying to get into it. And I was there for like a few days. And so I wasn't fasting.
You weren't fasting, but were you eating really low glycemic and light and a lot of fat?
I wasn't, not a lot of fat.
No.
I have to, I'm trying to look at my book here where I'm writing things down.
Here. I'm looking to see if you wrote. So your fasting glucose started out at 111. Wow.
Yeah, that was a couple years ago.
A couple years ago, got it. Okay. And the hemoglobin A1C was 5.7 a couple years ago. Your highest glucose you've seen fasting is 86 right now, and the lowest is 51. The average is about 67, highest you've seen at 134. I'm curious to see if that when you got the 134 at bedtime, what was it in the morning? Was that early on or was that
high? Let's see, which day was that? Did I put the date?
Doesn't have a date, no. And it looks like you've gotten up to 225. So it sounds like you've got some reactive hypoglycemia going on because you're at both ends of the spectrum, and that's probably why you didn't feel good at 50. Because you've got your highest post-meal glucose was 225. Do you recall what you ate then? Who's identified with the yogurt, apple, banana, sweet potato, radish, green drink with pineapple? Got it. Okay.
I was experimenting with pizza that day. So that was when I first started testing sugar.
Yeah. So, yeah, 225. So clearly you've identified some foods.
Mm-hmm.
50, right? Did that happen after it had gone up high and then come down real low?
Let's see. No, it didn't. Looks like I was in the 50s for a few days.
50s fasting?
And I wasn't fasting. I wasn't trying.
I mean, first thing in the morning. So when you're saying 50, it was first thing in the morning, and what happened to it after you ate on those days?
Went to 53, back down to 50, up to 56. I got as high as I got was, looks like, 68 that day.
Interesting. And the ketones, the ketones went up higher. It went to the fours and threes.
Mm-hmm.
And what were you eating those days, that day?
Well, like that day, I had lots of green stuff, celery with avocado oil, salt and yeast flakes on it, had broccoli, same thing, avocado oil, salt and yeast flakes. I didn't eat a whole lot. I wasn't hungry.
You weren't hungry. Yeah, the ketones were dampening your appetite.
And the next day, I was still same, just 50s and 60s. I had lots of green stuff, kale, broccoli, celery mixed together. Lots of green stuff those days.
You didn't feel great with that? Or you felt, because sometimes when people are shifting into ketosis, you feel kind of not so good for the first few days as you're adjusting, your body's adjusting to burning fat. Have you lost weight during this period?
5 pounds was all.
5 pounds. Okay, well, that's significant. You're not a big person. Weight 135 to start, go away to 115. So 5'3". So 5 pounds is significant on a 5'3" person. Okay, so you did lose weight. And then how are you feeling? Like, how would you describe how you're feeling during those days when it's low? Is it still low like that?
Stomach-wise, I'm fine. Well, other than being bloated. Seems to be no matter what I eat, I will bloat to some extent. The brain fog is just terrible.
Yeah. So there's a couple of things you can do. You can slow it down, or you could just live through it until it gets to the other side. Now, some people feel that they just feel like adapting to that for several weeks even. I mean, I've never seen it go more than like 17 days, let me just say. Okay. But the numbers are really the numbers you're getting are good numbers. You may not be getting enough is an issue, right? You may not be getting enough. And that, you know, you're feeling full, so you're not eating anymore. The veggies that you're eating, are they cooked or are they raw?
Usually raw, unless I have asparagus, then I cook that.
You cook it, okay. All right. And do you find that you have the same amount of little bloating when you eat cooked versus raw? I mean, looking at the past over the last couple of years or what?
Doesn't seem to matter.
It doesn't seem to matter. Whatever you eat, you get a little bloaty.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
go ahead.
Lately though, I haven't, like this whole month so far, I've not been back in, well, high 50s, but otherwise I'm more like 70s and 80s and 90s even.
Okay. And what did you change to shift you up there?
I've put my smoothies back in. So a lot of times I'll have like a avocado smoothie. Now that doesn't make me go up, but if I have a blueberry smoothie,
then it will.
Only half a cup of blueberries in it.
Yep, that makes you go up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But what is it going up to? Is it going from 50 to 70? Is that what you're seeing, or 60 to 80?
Well, the other day, I had some blueberry stuff. It went from 89 to 132.
Yeah, so the blueberries are out for you during the metabolic reset. Sorry. That happened to me. I can do them now, but that happened to me too. It went into the 130s after blueberries, and so I had to cut them out during the reset. So it's finding those foods that can keep you in that steady state. But you've already identified some, and any of them that raise like that, you're going to have to take out. I mean, clearly eating avocado and avocado oil and vegetables keeps you in a very steady state.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So sometimes people get help during the transition period with exogenous ketones. There's a couple of brands. If you remember, Justin Bakery has one. Don't get the one with caffeine, but that just helps you to feel better as you're transitioning to the burning the fat. For some people, not everybody.
Well, see, the brain fog deal, though, that's been going on for like 30 years.
Yeah. And it's not going to go away within days, right? So I would say you sound like you're on the right track.
Okay. And
a couple of things that may make it more comfortable as you transition is MCT oil, as either oil or powder, and possibly the exogenous ketones from Justin Bakery. I think there's a couple of other companies that have them, but be careful because some of them put like weird flavorings and, you know, caffeine and other stuff like that.
What was the other one other than exogenous ketones?
MCT, medium chain triglycerides. And you can get MCT as an oil itself, or you can actually get it as a powder.
Okay. I've had both.
You've had both. Okay.
Mm-hmm. I have that oil right now.
You have the oil? Okay. So put it on your vegetables. It's very tasteless.
Okay.
You can put a little in your smoothie if you want. But you don't want to put too much oil, right, because you're still on the wanting to lose weight. You've got maybe another 15 pounds to go, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
The serving size is a tablespoon. Is that too much? Or
I would start with MCT. Everybody listen up with this one. If you're going to add MCT oil, start with a little bit, like quarter teaspoon, half a teaspoon, then, you know, gradually build up, because as your body gets used to it, it can actually cause diarrhea.
I haven't had that problem.
Never had it? Well, if you have the opposite problem, then start with a half a teaspoon and work your way up. But, yeah, you can go up a teaspoon. You can do that, but just go slowly.
Okay.
All right. But if you have it more towards tight bowels, then it can be very helpful as well.
Good. because I need help in that department.
If you need help in that direction, then just go for it.
Yeah, I get once a day if I'm lucky.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
You can definitely do it. So I'd still start slow. Start with a half a teaspoon then.
Okay.
I wouldn't go right to three tablespoons or a tablespoon or three teaspoons. Okay?
Okay. All right.
Yeah, so your question, if ketosis is good for the brain, why did my head feel good? That's because, you know, you've been struggling with this for a long time and your body's taking some time to learn to burn the ketones in your brain for fuel. And once it gets there, it can be amazing how clear you feel.
I hope so. I'm looking forward to that so much.
And trust your body through the process, right? You're just like a week or two in. So trust the body through the process. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Great.
All right.
Thank you.
Very much.
You're welcome. Yeah, so another thing is sugar not going down, going up by more than 25 points and not coming back down. So it sounds like you've got to be really careful about those starchy foods, but your body is really responding well to just the fats and the greens. So that might be your whole month, and you're just going to have to like, okay, suck it up, but it's not too bad, and you will get there. Okay? All right, so that was Karen. I'm going to put Karen's hand down.
Thanks.
Yes, I put your both hands down. Okay. Oops, now there it is. All right, so we have Pauline and Bijana, and we'll get to you guys. Okay, so I'm going to just go in the order that they're here so I don't confuse myself. Pauline, hi.
Hi, can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good, because I wasn't sure how to operate this. Yeah, I had questions because I just started monitoring my blood sugar because my numbers were very, very high. My A1C went up to 9.8, which my doctors were really upset about.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, both my endocrinologist and my primary care. But I noticed I just started on Monday monitoring, and I was taking glipizide 5 milligrams twice a day. And then my blood sugar started to drop. I'm waking up in the 50s, 53 or 49 this morning before I get out of bed.
Talk to your
doctor.
Okay? You're on too much of the medication.
Well, I just cut the evening. Last night I cut the evening one down in half to 2.5, and then it was 49 this morning. So it was still dropping.
I would have that conversation with your doctor, say, how low can I go on this? And they'll probably tell you to either, you know, cut it down to 25% or cut it out for a few days.
Yes. She's pretty good, though, because I pretty much know when I need to cut back, and so she's good with me when I talk to her about stuff, you know, because she knows me anyway. I'm, like, super sensitive, but, you know, I've cut out because I'm injured now. I have two bad knees and a bad back, so I have a lot of inflammation. So this is the reason I joined, because I need to get my inflammation down and my blood sugar. So, and I only have one kidney, so I can't take anti-inflammatory drugs. So I get a lot of pain. So I'm super sensitive to everything. So now I've cut out the dairy, all the high starches, like no grains, no pastas or rice or anything like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm basically just eating clean meat, things like spaghetti, squash. I make like a meat sauce with the grass-fed beef. So tonight it's like broccoli, cauliflower, rice, peppers, onions. What else did I put in there? Mushrooms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really hungry because my blood sugar was 49 a few minutes ago, so I got a little frayed again. So I just ate a half of a Granny Smith apple. I know I'm not supposed to. And almond butter.
Okay,
just
don't say that. You're not supposed to. Here's the thing. If you're on a medication and you see those numbers dropping, you must eat a half an apple, right? Because you're on the medication and your body has stopgap measures. Like if I'm fasting, I'm doing something, my body is going to respond. It's not going to let me get too low. But it's when you're on the medications or you've had distorted blood
brings it down.
It's going to bring it down.
No, because when I'm upstairs at night, I can't come, you know, I sort of only come down once and go up once because my knees are so bad and I have steep stairs.
Yeah.
I had glucose tablets, and I took, that's the only thing I had upstairs, and I have them in bed with me with my monitor and my little notebook in the morning, so when I get up and I have a bottle of water up there, and I put lemon in it last night and went up with it. But
and you can bring the apple.
So that's
up.
What I've been doing. So
right.
2 days I had to take the glucose tablets, yes. So tonight I won't take the glucoside because I've already taken 5 milligrams this morning. So
yeah, unless you have to, don't take it. But as far as the glucose tablets, instead bring up an apple and have it by your bedside.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's better than the glucose tablets,
exactly.
Right? Because that's
you'll figure
loaded
out
with sugar. Yeah.
It's loaded with sugar. And
okay.
It's just gonna, yeah. So bring that a little bit of apple and see how much you want to get the minimum you can to bring it up into that range. And if you're on meds, as soon as it starts to go below 80, I'm like, okay, we got to talk to your doctor about lowering the meds.
Yeah. But, you know, I'm so sensitive to carbs that when I eat anything, it shoots up like to 200. I mean, I had last month, I was going out, you know, socializing because I get depressed if I stay in the house. But
mm-hmm.
I was up at the COA and I was eating their food. And, you know, before I even start a meal, I was in the 200s. My numbers were really high.
Yeah.
And this week, just turning it around, they're like really dropping.
That's
so
awesome. You're very responsive, right? Your body's responsive. So it's really going to be a matter of learning that those foods are out of my repertoire, right?
Yeah.
I get rid of them permanently. And when you do eat, like say your sugar does drop and you want to take apples, since you are so sensitive, you don't want to have the yo-yo. You don't want to have it go 49, 185, right? So you learn like one bite of apple, half an apple, two bites of the apple, whatever it takes to get it to come up.
Oh, okay. Not eat the half an apple right away.
Okay. You know, go through it, test
that's
it.
My thing. Yeah, I never know how much to do, you know, so I wait till...
You won't. Just
it got up to like the 60s, I think, this morning. So that's when I got into the shower because I was afraid to do that kind of stuff. But I noticed the first day I did this, and because I can't do a lot of exercises, I've just been doing like a lot of the arm motions. But I noticed my blood sugar went up instead of going down a little bit.
Yeah, so that's the case when if your body's precipitous, if your blood sugar is low to start, then there's no way it's going to go down because your body's going, oh, there's not enough sugar in here. So it goes to stored glucose and it starts to break down the glucose and to bring it up.
I didn't know if that was like stress because I'm so out of shape. I'm so hurt now that, you know, I have trouble walking and doing everything. So.
But I think that, you know, it's really a matter of finding your sweet spot in exercise too, like what's the right amount for me. But with being on the medication, your blood sugar drops like that. And if it's 49 and then you exercise, it's not going to go down further. It's more likely to go up because your body's sugar. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But if it went up to like from 49 to 149, then I'd say you overexercise, Pauline. You got to cut it back.
Yeah, well, I don't think that will happen. Well, maybe it will. Because I need to have surgery and they won't do it because of my weight. I've got so many things now that I have to work on. That's why I joined. I mean, I was a member before and I have trouble sticking with things, you know. I wrote it on one of I think when I did the first foundational thing, I forget the first one, but I haven't gotten too far on it. I have trouble, thinking about things and emotions and, you know, I looked at the vision one. That's the one I've got to do next. So I haven't really gotten too far into it. But somebody was talking to me about is it vagus nerve? Have you ever heard of that?
Yeah, the vagus nerve.
Like a fight and flight thing because of past traumas that I've had. I've had multiple things where I have a tendency to give up on myself or not. When I get overwhelmed, I sort of just shut things down. You know, I just sort of do that at times.
Yeah, so here's the thing, Pauline. There's a lot that can be done here. First of all, congratulations that your body responds so well to you eating.
Yes.
Because a lot of people with numbers like yours, it takes them weeks or months, you know, to really see that significant a change. So that's the good news.
That's great.
You probably don't need the medication. That's what you talk to your doctor about. that if you keep the foods in check and you, you know, little exercises and heart math. Heart math is huge, right? You got to do that piece and do your stress piece. But here's the thing, when you have trouble sticking with something, you always have to ask the question, what's more important to me right now? Is it more important to me to lose the weight and to get my body healthy and have, you know, a happy, long, comfortable life? Or is it more important to have the 30 seconds on my tongue of chocolate cake or whatever it might be?
Yeah. So to me, sometimes it's just like socializing, and when I go out, I have problems picking things off menus and stuff like that. My friends laugh at me because it takes me so long. I'm like, because I'm trying to figure it all out, you know. I just
so here's the thing.
So I get that. I just have to be ready, and I really feel that I'm ready now. I took a leap and said I was a 10 on the commitment thing because I'm desperate and I really want to get healthier and be. I have two granddaughters. One's just a little over a year old now, and I haven't even been able to. I went to physical therapy because I was weak. My muscles were weak. My balance is off. I was dizzy all the time. I just had no stamina. And then the baby came along. Well, I ended up hurting myself. That's why I went to physical therapy, and I blew out my knee. And then it threw me back. That was last October, and I just got off the cane now. So it's slow coming back. But, yeah, I have two young granddaughters that I want to be there for,
what
and I want to be able to.
Right? That's the reason for you. Like, that's your big life.
Yes.
Yeah? You can do this.
Because I can't even go to the soccer field and watch my other one play because I'm so unsteady. You know, there's so many things that are just, you know, that are hard
for
me physically.
Yeah. Think about what you can be doing and enjoying your grandkids, right? And so when you go out, you plan in advance. You say, okay, either eat something before you leave. Have some salad and avocado before you leave so that you're not so hungry. And then look at the menu and say, do they have broccoli? Do they have cauliflower? A lot of restaurants these days have Brussels sprouts and all kinds of really good veggies. It's kind of the trendy thing. Kale and Brussels sprouts tend to be in vogue. But you get those kinds of things. You avoid the potatoes. You avoid the pasta. You avoid all that. You get a piece of fish and some vegetables. And that's it.
You know, honestly, Dr. Rita Marie, that's what I did. I started doing that like last week, even before I started. Not fully, but I went to a restaurant and I got broiled fish with nothing on it because they could lightly breadcrumb it. I didn't do that. And I just got a salad and I ate just big green salad with it.
Perfect. Right.
So that was a big deal for me to just do that, you know.
Congratulations.
Huge. Thank you.
Good job. And the good news is, and I remember this from, I don't remember if you were in last year or 2 years ago, but I remember the same conversation we had then with those low blood sugars.
I would be afraid because I'd come down at night. Yes.
Yes, I remember this.
And now I can't come down at night because of my legs, so I bring things up in a shopping bag when I go up at night. And I do the same thing coming down in the morning because I just can't come down the stairs, you know, when I'm shaky like that. So, and actually, the thing is, when my numbers were low, I wasn't shaky.
That's good.
Before, when I did this, for some reason, I'd wake up and it would wake me up. Yeah. And I'd be sweating and all that kind of stuff. Now, I'm just not sleeping. Oh, that's the other thing. I don't sleep now since I've been doing this. I'm like, every 2 hours, I'm like wide awake. I just can't seem to get into a deep sleep.
Your blood sugar is low and your body's trying to get it back up. So get with the doctor about the medication and then eat the apple by your stand. Maybe it's blueberries. Maybe you just bring up some blueberries and you just eat one or two. You see what that does. You keep testing your sugar to see where it goes. And, you know, if within 15 minutes it's not coming up, then take a handful. But, you know what I'm saying? Just take a few blueberries, or take a bite of the apple, another bite, and just see. You're laying down, so you're not going to get into trouble, right? It's just
That's what I figure. I don't get up until I know I'm safe. I don't get up out of bed until I know I'm okay to get up.
And I recommend you look at the ketone meter to look at testing your ketones, too. We'll talk more about that.
Oh, okay.
Next week we'll
talk
about that. But yeah, get the ketone meter because we can see, you know, if you've got low blood sugar but you've got high ketones, I'm okay with it. But if you've got low blood sugar and low ketones, that's when I'm worried that you're not getting enough glucose or ketones, you know, fuel to your brain. And that's where there's a trouble.
Okay.
Okay?
All right. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Pauline.
Such a pleasure talking.
It's
thank you so much.
I just was like deja vu. I remembered. I'm like, I know she is.
Okay.
You,
thank you, dear. All righty. God bless. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Okay. So let's see who else has. We have Bill Jana and somebody from Las Vegas. So let me go Bill Jana because I know I saw your. Is that, did I say it right? Bill Jana?
It's Billiana.
Billiana. Oh.
Yes.
Very good. Juliana, I like it. I like
thanks.
It. So I have your, let me go here in this other sheet, new calls. All right. Okay, so here. There we go. Juliana. I have Barbara, Tina, Juliana. Here we go. All right, so what's your question?
My question, though, this is the after a burst exercises, my blood glucose goes up. Should I be worried about that or no?
Yeah, so how much does it go up?
It doesn't go too much up. It goes, for example, from 5.3 to 5.6, and it's four burst exercises, 30 seconds with 1.5 minute break.
Okay. How do you feel after you do those exercises and during? Do you feel very stressed, very worn out? Do you feel good?
I actually feel better. Yes, I'm breathing hard. I am kind of exhausted, but in the same time, I feel much better than before I started.
Good. Then I'm not going to worry about it. Okay? Because if you're like feeling like exhausted and then you couldn't move for hours or days, then I would be like you're over-exercising. But it's just a little bit of a raise, and it's just teaching your body how to use the sugars better. But it's going burst of blah, you know. And for some people, what was it? You said it was in a before 5.2. What is that in? That's like
5.3 and then 5.6.
5.3 and then 5.6. So I'm trying to do the conversion in my head and think that's somewhere in the 90s is what my guess is. No, it's still staying in the 90s. No, I wouldn't worry about it.
So it's 96 from 96 to 100.
96 to 100, no big deal. No big deal. No, I wouldn't worry about that at all. If it was going up like 20 points, then I would say cut back a little bit on the exercise. Or if you said, I feel exhausted afterwards, I'd cut back. But I think it's good for you, and I wouldn't worry about it.
Okay. I have to thank you for this program because I would still think that I'm okay by blood tests, I'm normal. But once I got this program and start checking my blood test, I was in a shock. I cannot eat almost any fruit, and
well,
I didn't know that.
Yeah, 91 went 9.1, which is way up there.
Oh, that's crazy, yeah.
Yeah.
I cannot have lentils, but I can have most of the legumes, and I'm okay with starchy vegetables.
Okay, good. So then you have something. What's your weight? 150. Oh, well, you still have weight to lose. So for you, you know, it might be fine to just stick with the vegetables and the whole food fats for a month, you know, during the reset. The avocado,
yeah.
Olives, and coconut, and lots and lots and lots of veggies. Just to keep you, and you'll see some changes. Have you seen any weight loss yet?
Maybe 2 pounds in 2 weeks.
Okay. Yeah. So as you don't have those big jumps like you had 9.1, and you cut out the bread and the oats and all that stuff. All the high sugar stuff that's causing you to raise your sugar, not any of the low stuff. So you're going to see a major shift if you just get those out. And then when we go into the metabolic reset, that you only eat the foods you've already tested that keep your sugar within the good range.
Yes. I'm also menopausal, and that really disturbed my thyroid now. I used to have problems with my thyroid, but it was fine for 4 years, and now I went into menopause. I also gained a lot of weight, and I'm having night sweats. I don't sleep very well, and now my thyroid starts acting too. So do you think it may be all this blood sugar that I had?
I think it can be related, because if you unbeknownst to you, you were jumping up to 9.1, you know, at times, that's thrown off your thyroid. So So let's see what we can do through the metabolic reset. And then after that, see, get your thyroid retested and see where it's at.
I already set up another test, and I told my doctor I'm doing this, and he was open to it, and he said, let's see how it goes, and we'll check it again. So that's good.
Okay. So it sounds like you're doing well with the births. You're doing other exercise as well. You're doing your heart math every morning, every evening.
Yes.
Try doing it throughout the day, too, like right before you eat. It'll help your digestion with your food.
Okay.
Right. Just like short, like 30 seconds to a minute, a few breaths. It just shifts you into eating, you know, getting your foods. Digestion. So you said you had grades for 8 years. That's a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
And are you on meds now?
No meds at all. For 4 years, I wasn't on any meds. Everything was managed only by food.
Okay. And then, you know, something, when you go into menopause, it does trigger thyroid stuff. You know, it could be something that you inadvertently started eating that you didn't know. That triggered it, that was an allergen, because it's autoimmune. It could be some gut stuff, and I think if you do what I said about eating, like breathing right before you eat and really calming that down, it's going to help your gut. And autoimmune stuff really, really depends on good gut health, you know, healing autoimmune gut stuff. Okay? So I would just cover it along, do all the pieces. You're sleeping, what does it say, 7 hours a night? I'm going to say seven.
Well, it's seven. But I get awakened so many times.
Okay. All right. When you get to, we'll be going through the sleep module and taking some more in depth, you know, going through some of the other things, ways to increase your melatonin, light exposure in the evening, staying away from the computer 2 hours before bed. There's a whole lot of that. We'll go through all of that in the sleep module. Okay.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Nice to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you too. Bye.
All right, bye. Okay, so there's three people left that I haven't talked to: Barbara, Tina, and Christine, who submitted their stuff.
Okay, I got it.
All right, so I have one more here on the line, Las Vegas, and that's your hand is up from Las Vegas. So tell me who you are.
Barbara.
Oh, hi, Barbara. Oh, good. I have your Barbara, the one that I have the form for. I'm not going to tell me how you say your name because I probably butchered it.
Oh, it's just Bindrup.
Bindrup. Okay. Hi, Barbara.
I'm Shandi Borup's mom.
Whose mom? Say it again.
Shandi Borup. She interviewed you on her series.
Yes. Okay. Wow, that's so cool. I'm glad you're here. Yay, how can I help?
Well, I am too. I've, as you can imagine, I've been doing a lot of good things over the years because I've been a fairly clean eater, and I'm really big on exercise. I'm 78, and I do a mile or two of power walk with surges, and with your advice, I've done more surges. But I, just out of the blue, about 5 years ago, with my husband being critically ill at that time, I was always had a perfect blood sugar and A1C, and all of a sudden, I just assumed it must be, I don't know, a combination of stress or inherited it from my dad, but I was diagnosed as a diabetic and determined not to take medication, trying to control it with diet and exercise, but I had been under a great deal of stress, so I've been all over the place. But I just in the last week that I've been trying to incorporate and follow your plan, I was waking up between 145 and 160 with my morning blood sugar, mm-hmm. and then that has dropped into the low 20s to 30 just in this past week, which I'm happy with, really happy about. And I don't know if it's my computer or what, but I was trying to download the food list and menus and so forth, and it just blinks at me. It doesn't download, so I don't know if it's if it's security or something on, but I wondered if there's anything on your end that.
No, it's working fine on our end. What kind of a computer are you on?
It's a Dell.
Okay,
and it's
with Windows.
Doesn't have
versus Mac.
It's Windows.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And how is your internet speed? Is it fairly reliable, quick, or you have a low speed?
Well, it's better than it used to be. It's not always constant, but it's pretty good. It's pretty good, I think.
And have you tried it multiple times, like rebooting your computer to see if it comes back and works then?
I was gonna have my computer man come over today. In fact, I was gone and missed him. I was had another appointment and I missed him. But to have him check my computer to make sure it's not either a virus thing or a security thing.
Yep.
I'm eager to do that. Now I have my own testing monitor, and but I was wondering, you talk about measuring ketones. Is that with a special monitor or something?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's one called the Keto Mojo, and it'll test both glucose and ketones. Personally, I don't use it for the glucose because I still have my tried and true favorite, but that one I'm going to run out of strip soon. So, but most people that get it will test both, and it's really reliable in terms of numbers. But you may have one of the higher end ones, like if you're diabetic, they prescribe it. The problem is they don't give you enough of the strips to do the kind of testing that we're asking you to do, and they cost a fortune if you have to pay out of pocket for that meter. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really can't. After my husband's passing and stuff, I really can't afford to do that. So I think I'll just stick with my meter and work with what I've got, and trust that my ketones will change with my numbers.
You don't have to check, do that. You know, here's what I found, and I noticed it with a couple of people who wrote in there. She just followed the program, right? She didn't do anything to say, I'm going to go on a ketogenic diet. No, she just followed the program, and she had a ketones going up into, one of them was 4.3 and the other one was 0.9. So this naturally will get there. It's just a lot of people like to measure it and like to be able to shift things to make it better. So no worries about that. You need to focus on doing the food stuff the way we're teaching. I would just really right now, because we already know you're diabetic, we already know that you're responding to foods, I would just jump right in and start doing the foods that are on the green list on the metabolic reset chart. Do you know what I'm talking about there?
I just heard you talking about it. I haven't been able to access that.
Trying to access the book, like the recipe book, or what was it you were trying to download? Or is it anything you try to download from the program?
Anything. I did do the forms. I filled out the forms. They came down just fine. But as far as the food list and everything, this is the green list on the 30-day metabolic reset.
Yes, the list is green. Now, let me ask you this. Do you do Facebook?
Yes.
Okay. So, Lynn, will you make a note to just go on the Facebook group and post that metabolic reset at a glance chart as a file on Facebook and see if that is it. If that doesn't allow you to download, then it's definitely an issue with your computer, like some kind of security thing or not enough storage or something like that.
Okay, I'll do that because I was eager to do that. Now, on this 30-day metabolic reset, is that just like to shock the system and that's probably not, you know, eating any fruit, that's just probably
real rigorous, because you're already in this range of, it's already way too high. So I would say, that's why I said the green charts, because the fruits are in the yellow where it says test them and see how they do, and you can stick with it. But I would say, you're probably best off to go right to the green side. You know, you'll eat vegetables, avocado, if you eat meat, you have fish or something like that, but nuts, seeds, that sort of stuff, but cautiously, because you have, how much weight do you have to lose? Oh, not much.
Oh, I, I've lost a couple of pounds, but I'm around between 160 and 163.
Yeah. And where do you come up with your target weight? I mean, probably ideally for 5'6", you probably want to get down to, you know, ideally in the 130s.
Well, you know, I'm kind of large boned, and I've been down one time when I joined a weight loss group. I got down, I put my target weight at 145, and I got down there, and I was emaciated. I was not a good weight. So I just thought, well, to start out with, because I am very muscly, because I'm a power walker, and so I have good muscle tone. And so I just thought, well, I put 155 to start with. I'll see how because I'm old. And so as I lost 35 pounds a couple of years ago, and, you know, I feel good here, but I put 155 just as I'll see how my blood sugar is there and how I feel.
Yep.
And, you know,
yep.
But, I don't think that my body type is not going to do 135. It's not going to do it.
Got it. Yeah. Yeah. And you know your body better, right? So that's fine. I would say do that. Do what you said. See how you feel at the 155. And you go, okay, I can keep going. But it's really what's important is not your weight at this point. The weight is just going to happen. It's really this blood sugar. It's really getting this blood sugar under control. And if you're already moving in that direction, right, if you're between 120 and 130, you're almost out of the medically diagnosable diabetic range, which is awesome. Totally awesome.
Yes.
The thing I would recommend.
I'm just trying to enjoy the change I've seen already and the success and the way I was able to get to the 121 low on Monday morning was because I had done an extra long fast on Sunday, and so I've just decided, and Shawnee and I talking, I've just decided I'm going to do fast two meals on every Sunday to try to help the reset. And, but you know, I will, it's crazy because stress plays such a huge role. And I've had a lot of that to deal with. And so I'm trying to go to my happy place in my mind and at the beach and do spiritual things to try to handle the, and I've been told by my natural doctor over the years that I handle stress pretty well, but I don't, the blood sugar sometimes clearly tells me I don't.
Yeah.
And, so
yeah.
I'm just, you know, just trying to, but I'm excited to, but there's sometimes that foods that I think, are good will drastically spike the blood sugar to where I think that, oh, that must be an error on the meter or something. Mm. But it's just that some foods, even though they're considered healthy, they just don't work with an individual body. Is that what that means?
Yeah, and there may be specific genetics or specific path stuff that just doesn't work as well for each person. So we have just go through the stuff that's in the foundations module and follow some of that. The one thing I would recommend, because you didn't probably didn't download because it's in a file, is the supplements guide. I would say there's a couple of things that could help you bring these things down. The chromium, magnesium, and DHA, and berberine for you, given where you're at.
Berberine?
Berberine, B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E, berberine, B-E-R-B-E-R-I-N-E. Okay.
Well, you know, I had previously, when I was working on this by myself, and everything that you read, they say that, you know, magnesium, so I had gotten magnesium, and I didn't see any different, but I'll get some more, so magnesium, chromium, berberine,
those four will be really helpful for you, but it's not going to be immediate. It's, you know, a lot of times we get used to the drug mentality, right? You take a drug, the headache goes away, right? That's not the way it works when you're rebalancing the body. So it's over time, it's going to bring it down. And that's what I would recommend for you. It's all on the site, but it's in the document. And if you haven't been able to download the document, it's going to be challenging.
Okay.
Okay. Are you on the chat right now? Are you just on the phone? You're on the chat?
I got on the phone because with the, I was on the, I don't have a camera, and so, but when I was on the broadcast before, I just wasn't hearing the conversation very clearly, so I decided to switch over to the phone, but I did post a question and ask, you know, and raise my hand with, through the chat so you would see me, but I just trying to you know, see these, and I've been doing the more the testing and the burst in the morning and trying to do those little tricks and see what works, and I think it's just a trial and error and patience and time thing, and so I know that I just have to really celebrate each little positive thing and not get discouraged when the number shoots way up. You know, I had take a son to lunch today, or we went to lunch for a Mother's Day thing, and I had it was a Mexican restaurant, and so you're limited, but I got a I eat avocado every day, and they had this salad with avocado and cucumber and some good veggies and some good greens and baby shrimp, and so I got that salad, and the beans were there separately, so I probably ate, you know, 3 or 4 chips just trying to get some beans added to my salad, and it spiked my blood sugar a lot. So, you know, what you think it was something else in the salad that I wasn't aware of, or do you think it was just
probably the legumes? You know, when you're diabetic, when your sugars are so sensitive like that, it's really hard to take anything that has the starches or the sugars in it without it raising your sugar. It's not going to be forever necessarily. You know, it could be. We're just going to have to get you into the normal range, and then you start experimenting. So the way the program works, this is our testing phase. Figure it out. And every time you get a number that causes your sugar to go up, celebrate. Okay, I know now that food is one that I need to avoid. Do you see what I'm saying? And then, great, that's what this whole process is. Starting June 1st, we're going to do a metabolic reset. And anything that you found that raised your sugar and anything you haven't tested yet, we're going to just stay away from for that month, plus do the bursts and the you know, your spiritual practice and all that stuff to help you to get it under control. And amazing things
right.
can happen. So
and, you know, an amazing thing is when I have spiked up real high, then it's amazing that in an hour or two, I've dropped 150 points. You know, 120 points, and so it will go high and then just go right back down, you know, into the 120s. And so, is that normal?
That's good. Your body is becoming more sensitive to the insulin that it's producing. Whereas before, it wasn't sensitive to it at all, and the sugar would just stay high.
Right.
Yeah, and that's
so,
the whole
thing. And I just had to tell you, Sean got a kick out of this. I was Monday morning when my blood sugar dropped down to 120, and I hadn't seen it for ages. Why, I went on my 2 mile power walk, and then I came home, and there was some music on, and I literally was dancing, and I had energy that like I hadn't seen for ages, and so it was. And I just really celebrated that, and I said, I want that all the time. I'll do whatever it takes. I want that all the time.
Absolutely. So do whatever it takes. You're going to get there. We're going to make sure that you get the documents open so you know what to eat and how to do it and have some recipes. And you're just going to do this. You're going to just make a decision. I know that you know, for some folks it's hard. I know it's hard to get off the addiction to the tongue, right? But it's really a matter of deciding and then just doing it, even if you have to eat like boring stuff for a month to get it down. It's worth it. It's so worth it.
And so when we do the reset, then you will gradually be able to introduce foods that are still good and have a treat once in a while.
Well, treats once in a while, we'll see, right? So what we're going to do is after the reset is over, then we have a whole process for guiding you to gradually test and add things back. Now, given that, you know, where you're starting from, you may have to do the reset for another month, right? But you'll see, you'll go, oops, that still raises it. Good. I'm going to wait a while. Oh, wait, I can eat 3 blueberries and it doesn't raise my sugar. Great. You know, and then you know what to do. So that's what we're going to be doing. So you're going to reset.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, I make my own sourdough, my own kefir, my own almond milk. And the other morning, I've been neglecting my seeds lately. And so I put a half a cup of kefir in my dish, and I did my sesame and chia and flax seeds in there. And then I put, to give it a little sweet, I put like a tablespoon of blueberries and 2 little tiny slices of banana in it and chopped it up just to mix in to have a little flavor. And I was also thinking of a little potassium, and it spiked my blood sugar. And so
I'm not surprised, right? Because you had the blueberries, you had the banana. And right now my guess is that you're going to need to follow just the greens for the month, for the whole reset. I had to, and I wasn't even diabetic when I started, but that's where I started from. And now I can eat pineapple again. Right? I just have to eat it in moderation and with lots of greens. I'm going to teach you all that.
See, I love fresh pineapple. In fact, I have another daughter that lives with me, and she brought home a fresh pineapple, and I cut it up, and I used to, you know, put that in my kefir a little bit, but you know, I haven't had a bite of it because I just knew that I felt like I just probably shouldn't right now. But
You mentioned sourdough. That concerns me. What is this? Is sourdough bread?
I make my own sourdough, and I make a sourdough pancake that is veggies. It is made with cabbage and onions and carrots and garlic and the sourdough with no leavening or anything, just a pure sourdough made from, you know, it's just whole wheat. Whole grain, not necessarily whole wheat, whole grain, you know, sourdough, and then I eat that with avocado and kraut. And when Shawnee was here last month, we made fermented slaw and kraut. And so I ate the veggie pancake with avocado and slaw and a little Greek yogurt.
And that kept so what we're going to do for the reset is we're going to get you off all the grains.
Okay,
because that can be a problem later on if you want to introduce it. As long as it's gluten-free, I wouldn't do the gluten. But if you want to use quinoa or something like that for sourdough?
Yeah, I sprouted quinoa yesterday, and I made sprouted quinoa. Now, I can't have that now either.
Well, you'll test and see. If you're doing a sourdough on quinoa, if you're sprouting and fermenting quinoa, it may be fine.
And I did some, like yesterday I made rice cauliflower with mushrooms and onions and avocado. I cut up one sweet potato real small and mixed that in with, and it's like a big pan full. And then I had sprouted quinoa and put that on a big bunch of greens.
I would test. You're going to have to start testing, you know, at the 15, 30, 45 an hour, whatever, figure out where your peaks are and see if it raises it. Because you can't just go by the morning, right? It may have come back down, but it's going up. So you might be able to, depending on how you deal with it. It's sprouted and it's fermented and all that stuff is much different. All right, so I'm going to move on because there's a bunch of other questions, but it's been a pleasure talking to you. And
I'm sorry, but
seeing you.
I'm sorry if I took too much of your time.
That's okay. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I want to give everybody else a shot. So I really enjoyed talking to you. It's great. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Marie. I appreciate you so much.
Oh, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. So we have two more people with hands raised, and I have a few more questions. So I'm going to go to Catherine in Illinois, and then we have Li Chow in New York. So Catherine, hello.
Hi, Rita Marie. Hi. Just a quick question. I did some of my assessments today, and I noticed that I could get a higher score, better score, if I said that I eat breakfast within 1 hour of getting up in the morning. But I've been trying to stretch it out longer, so I've got a longer period after my dinner the night before. So you and I talked about this before, stretching to 13 or 14 hours. So I just wanted to check to see if there's a discrepancy there.
Yeah, so here's the thing. When we're first starting out in this program, most people are not used to intermittent fasting. Like, when I first started this program, nobody ever heard of intermittent fasting. So we left that to the last module, and then we said, okay, play with this. So I just ignore that question and pretend that you didn't get that. Because there's no ding on that, and I probably should update that. Right, but for some people, it is a ding. You know what I mean? So that's where it becomes. For some people, they do need to. If they have really severely wiped out adrenals and they don't eat within an hour of waking up, they cause a cortisol rush. So, you know, it's one of those things. So don't worry about it. I know what you're doing, and you're doing – that's fine. It's totally fine.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Thanks,
Kathy. Okay. Bye.
All right, so next would be Li Chow in New York, and then we'll go back and do all the Q&As.
Hi, Dr. Rita Marie.
Hi.
Dr. Rita Marie, hi.
I'm
going to have broccoli tonight.
You're going to have broccoli tonight? Awesome.
I wanted to ask you about...
And tomato tonight.
Broccoli and tomato. Sounds like a nice, healthy meal your mama's making you.
Yeah, he's eating healthy. He's been eating very healthy with lots of broccoli.
Good.
And tomato.
And tomato. Yummy. Well, you enjoy that. I'm going to talk to your mom for a little bit. Is that okay?
Yeah. Yes, thank you.
Yeah.
So I wanted to, ask you about when I was doing the testing.
Yeah.
It was very confusing to me with even with the monitor too. The continuous monitor, because when I was testing it, it's very hard to, I don't know, keep track of it, and then I write it down, and I write down what I eat, but then I finally just couldn't gather information that I need to. So after 2 weeks of that, I didn't do it. I took a break, and then I do it again, and the same thing happened. So then I have the fourth time, to try it. I was thinking, should I wait until... How should I start to test it when I'm following it to all the protocols exactly, like, you know, the eating on everything green?
No, you want to.
Or should I wait until?
That's where you want to detect the problem. So if you have the glucose meter on your arm, the freestyle, right? Basically make sure that you at least every 6 to 8 hours you detect it, and you'll see your graph. And if something goes
wrong, every 6 to 8 hours.
Yeah, well, you can do it often. I mean, you can do it as often as you want. You can do it every 5 minutes.
I did it so many, every 5-10 minutes, and then that got me confused, and then I don't even know what I'm looking
at. Look at the graph, and you set
the graph. Okay.
On the meter, it gives you the ability to set the range. Now, I set mine to 70 to 100. It doesn't let you go below 70. I like mine to go below 70. But... 70 to 100. That's what I set mine for. Maybe you set yours to 70 to 110, and then every time it goes above that, you're going to see it in the graph. And you'll know what time it is based on looking at the graph. If you've been keeping food, you don't have to write down all the numbers from there.
No, if I see that it rises, but then I forgot what kind of food I ate. You know,
right? But you want to write down the food. On a separate,
write down the food.
Every morsel of food you're eating and the time you're eating
it.
Then you go back to the thing and you go, at 1 o'clock my sugar went up. What did I eat in that hour before? And then you go, I had a sweet potato and some pineapple. So that might have been what did it.
Oh. Because, when I test it, it's hard for me. When I test it, I have a hard time. I don't have time to write down what I
eat. No, you don't have to. You don't have to.
I don't have
to.
But then how do I know?
You have to write down what you ate. Just write it down all the time. Every time you eat.
Every single time after I've done eating.
Every time you eat,
when I'm done.
You write it down and you write the timing of it. Yep. Every single time.
Okay.
You can get an app on your phone to do it. There's plenty of those. There's Fit Day, there's My Fitness Pal, there's Chronometer, pop, you just pop it in.
Oh,
so that way you know
when
you
go back, I use my fitness knee.
Then you know you don't have to write all those numbers, they're in the meter.
Oh.
You don't have to write it down.
Thank you. Yeah, that's how I got confused. I kept a track of it. There's so many numbers on that list.
No.
I just said big confusion to me, too much.
It'll confuse you.
Huh?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. So now I just look at the graph, and then once I saw that the spike, then I look back on how much, what kind of food I eat.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm going to save one last one because my insurance doesn't pay for that. I have one more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't want to wait.
Because I was on it.
Yeah. And it's not giving you information. This is how it gives you the good information.
Okay. So one other question is that should I test also when I start eating more carbs and fruits and starches, or should I wait until?
You're not going to do that till after the metabolic reset.
Okay.
Right? We're going to go through, you're going to test everything, you're going to eliminate them, and then June 1st to June 30th, you're going to just follow what get low. And then after that, there's a whole process we'll go through to show you how to test back.
Okay, I'm going to do that. Wait until June 1st because I feel my eyes been going all over the place too. I try for a while and then
So once
just get out of it.
You said you don't have to test as often because you're just eliminating all that stuff that causes a problem, right? So you don't need to do that. Yeah.
That's right. Now I know.
And I would invest in another one after your reset. You know, I know they're $35, but I would, after the reset, when you start introducing, so you use your last one now, you get another one for after the reset. And that'll really help you as you're adding things back.
Can you say that again? I didn't hear you correctly.
So right now, you get your other patch, right? You get that.
Oh, yeah, I have one more patch, yes.
Yes, you get that and you use it now, and that way you continue
now.
To figure out. You write everything you're eating down. You identify those foods that raise it, and during the reset, you eliminate them. You then go through the reset. You don't have to test as much during the reset. You don't have to.
Uh-huh.
You're going to be eating just the stuff that kept it normal. And then
that's why
we start to experiment and see, okay, what can I add back, and what am I not ready to add back yet?
But that's after June 30th, right? We do that.
After June 30th, right.
Okay. Now I'm all clear now. Yes, thank you very much, Dr. Rita Marie.
You're very welcome. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, and I saw a couple of chats in there. I don't know, Shalini, if you're on here. You're in Malaysia, so you may be off, but I'll get to you in a moment. And there was a couple of others that had some questions in there. So Phyllis from Victoria, B.C. Hi there, Phyllis.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey. How can I help you today?
I have a question. First is a quick one. The AM blood sugar reading, when I'm just like in bed and sit up and take my blood sugar, it might be, 5.7. I'm in Canada. Mm-hmm. And then within 10 minutes without eating anything, just getting up, it goes like a lot higher. So which is the AM reading you want? Like right away when you wake up or after you get up and get moving? Because mine really goes up.
Really, it's the first thing in the morning, but then if you start testing things, you're going to see, I was only up and about and brushed my teeth and my sugar went up to 7 from 5.8. That's a lot.
Right?
There's what's called the cortisol rising effect that happens in the morning.
Right.
And so as the cortisol goes up, it can cause the blood sugar to go up.
Right.
Okay. Shouldn't go that high. It just means you're in a probably a sympathetic stress response.
Yeah.
Right? But record both of them.
Okay.
Record both of them. The fasting would be that first thing. And then what activities are raising it? Just getting up and brushing my teeth raised it. Okay. I've seen that happen too. If I lay in bed and I'm like, I test my blood sugar in bed and it's a certain level. And then if I get up and I, come back and do something else or whatever, it's gone up like 5 to 10 points.
Okay.
Okay.
That actually leads into my next question, and I don't even know how to word this, except I'll just jump in and say, I have an way over responding stress response.
Yes.
So everything we're doing is giving me, you know, adrenal aches and spiking my blood sugar. You know, a small amount of exercise, cutting back eating is making my body have a stress response. It's everything. I can't seem to, and then what's happening is I can tell my thyroid's going down. So I'm a little concerned that I'm in this complex place where the regular people in this program aren't me, and I'm not quite sure if I should jump out and see you privately, or I have high blood sugar. I know I need to get it down. I have resisted medication, but between this program and going through marriage counseling, my blood sugar's gone a lot higher.
And yeah, because you pay more attention to it. But were you testing before? Were you just testing in the morning?
I was just testing the morning, and the morning has gone up a lot. So, okay. And now I'm testing all day. And, of course, yes, you find out that.
So you're finding stresses. Yeah. Are you starting to spread the meals out, or are you sticking with closer together?
Closer together still.
Okay, good. Because that would cause a stress response. Because yeah. I would recommend you stay with the program, and then you sign up with one of our coaches, and you get somebody to privately guide you through this.
Okay.
And they're really good. I mean, okay. They will really work with you and help
okay.
you. Okay? And then the way to do that.
I've done keto and the Danette May and a few things, and my adrenals crashed, my thyroid
yeah.
crashed. Like, I was in horrible shape for months, and now I'm up and walking again, and I want to do the right thing, and I'm just a little nervous that everything I'm doing seems to make my stress respond.
Right. And then the fact that you're monitoring it and then it goes up and then you're nervous about that and that causes your stress to go up.
Probably, yeah.
Right? So what you might want to do is to not do the testing and then just go to the metabolic reset at a glance page with the pick that has the columns for the different foods.
Yes, and go green on that?
Just go green. Just
okay.
go green and relax it out for a few minutes. Go green, take breaks, instead of testing your sugar, do some breathing and you know, heart math and that sort of stuff. As far as the exercises going, just stick with walking,
yeah.
like walking right now, and just really everything you do to calm the system down, but do those green foods.
Will going, that's my last question here, will going straight green, you know, June 1st, the straight green column, is that going to stress my adrenals?
You may need to add some resistant starch.
Okay.
It might. I mean, you got to see that. And I would say do it now. Just test and see. Like, do it for a couple of weeks. See how you feel. Or do it for a week, right? Because we're not talking like a high intensity keto, you know, with the 80% fat. Because if you do keto and you're up there with all that fat.
I can't do that.
That's very stressful on your adrenals.
Yeah.
Okay? So lots of big salads and steamed veggies, stir fries, whatever. Having some fish if you eat fish, if you're vegan, you know, don't, and eat more of the avocados and the olives and coconut and all that. And just kind of keep it, but whole foods, not like downing the oils like a lot of keto programs have to
do. No,
not good, right? And then you're going to need some adrenal. That's why I said work with one of our coaches along with this, because they can help you with the adrenal support. You may need extra vitamin C, a couple of the B vitamins, some adaptogenic herbs, but without really knowing your history, it's hard to say what ones,
okay.
but the steps and all that. So the
okay.
best way to do that would be, you know, reach out in the chat here or private, when you go to the chat, you can do private, I think you can say privately to one person and do it to Lynn, or just reach out to us and we'll give you a link. Or you go onto the site and there's a little box that says sign up for coaching, and you can get a session with a coach, or you can get a whole package of sessions with a coach.
Okay. So in your opinion, you can get your blood sugar down without stressing your adrenals?
Yes, you can. In
okay.
fact, the blood sugar up and down is stressing your adrenals, so we
okay.
need to calm it down.
Okay.
Are you taking any of the supplements that
yes,
we recommend?
Yes, small, and I eat clean and lean. I'm vegetarian. I do everything. I meditate. I can't get out of fight or flight. I've been in
yes.
it.
So you need some additional support for doing that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. And maybe an adrenal stress test or Dutch test to see what those levels are and see where you need intervention. But the adaptogens can be very helpful for that. And, you know, just stop testing for a little bit and just eat green for a while.
Okay, that sounds good. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
Okay.
Okay, so I'm going to go back over here. And let me see. I had Michelle, I got Petra, I got Angelica, I got Karen, we talked to Shalini. Here's the thing, I've answered this before and I want everybody to know this. I can't advise you on medication doses. I can't advise you on types of medication because it's out of the scope of this program and I could get in big trouble if I do. So I can't really do that. As far as whether thyroid medication for levothyroxine or Armour is appropriate, it's really, you know, I personally would opt for trying Armour, but if that's not available, or trying a natural one, if it was me, I would try that. But if it's not available, I would look at my numbers. I'd have to know what your numbers are, your free T3, your free T4. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's the ratio between them? Are you having a conversion issue? Are you possibly having a receptor issue? So without a consultation, I really couldn't do that, right? It just wouldn't be fair to you. I could make a wrong guess. It'd be just guessing, right? So for people who do well on Armour, but then it's not available, Armour being T3 and T4, then what you can do is oftentimes get a doctor to prescribe the levothyroxine and the Cytomel, the two different ones, and try to get balance. But you really have to be monitoring your free T3 and free T4 and the ratios between them. Roxanne can attend. Purple fingertips. Bobush would say you intend for those plus 15 or. Yeah, so we're trying. Our ultimate goal is to keep you below 110 all the time. Now, we just talked to, was it Phyllis, who had, not Phyllis, it was the one before Phyllis, it was Barbara, who said that, you know, she's already, her numbers are high. She's not going to go below 110 right now, but we're going to go for getting her as low as possible. But if your numbers, like your fasting glucose is 80, 85, even 90, we want you to stay no higher than 110 after those food things, like your peak of no higher than 110. So let me explain the peak again. When you're testing your sugar, you're starting out before the meal, that's your fasting. Let's just say it's 85. During the period from the time you eat to about an hour to an hour and a half later, the glucose is going to go up and then start to come down again. So as it goes up, you're plotting. And the reason we do so many tests is because we want to catch where it turns around. So say it's at 85, it goes to 90, it goes to 100, it goes to 105, it goes to 115, it goes to 120, and then it goes down to 115, then it goes down to 110. You know your peak was that 120 or 125. That was your peak. We want that peak to be 110 or below. Many of you are not going to get there right away. So we want to keep you on the foods that don't raise it too much. Don't raise it more than like 20 to 30 points. Okay? And then when you do that for a while, it helps to reset the insulin receptors. We've heard that from quite a number of people who are like, wow, my sugar is already going down, right? I think that was what Barbara said. Now, she never saw 120 for a really long time. That's awesome. I can't tell her she has to go below 110. She's not going to get there for a while. She's going to continue to work to go down and down and down, right? And eventually we'll all get there. Now, none of us are perfect, and there'll be times when it goes a little above 110. 110 is the ideal. If it goes to 120, you know, somewhere between 110 and 120, sometimes no big deal. It's what we want to keep it regular there and below the 110 as much as possible, all right? So that's what the deal is there. Okay, Ladia, I am not able to talk about your friend with cancer. This call is for people to talk about themselves and also without really talking to people. I'm talking to someone I can't really advise on a cancer situation. I'm really sorry. Trisha, the foods that trying to figure out the foods that make my spike. Why do I need to take it every 15 minutes for the first hour? It's because of what I just explained, that we're looking to see what the peak is. But if you know that after, you know, you've done this for a couple of days, that your peak is always at 45 minutes to an hour, then that's when you're going to test it to see where it's going to peak. And that's, you know, you can get down, but the first few days it's going to be a lot. All right. So Michelle, Bayari. Hi, Bayari. Protein powder. Recently, some of the protein powder smelled off, although they were not old. I had not had them in the fridge. Usually I do, but sometimes I don't have room. I see Sun Warrior says it can store in the freezer. What do you think? I'm like, yeah, if you're going to have things for a while, you can certainly store it in the freezer. And it depends on your environment and how tightly you've closed it. If it gets hot in the room, that sort of stuff. But mostly I don't store any of them in there. But if it smells off, then something went rancid probably. But yeah, you can keep them in the freezer. Denise, I have a hard time eating salads. I make veggie soups. Okay. But I tend not to eat my greens. For some reason, I have a hard time preparing salads. I eat some fish and cheese and eggs. I'm testing blood glucose, but have not been very good at doing it a few times a day. It's been in the high 90s. Doing stress-free exercise. I'm on the sweet spot. Looking forward to learning a lot on the call. So lots that you've probably learned already. We're doing the elimination diet, so I'd start to wean yourself off of the cheese and eggs. They could be causing an allergic response, which could cause a stress response in your body, which could cause your sugars to go up. So I'd watch with that. As far as the greens, what about soups, like putting them in soups? Some people have a hard time eating salads because it's hard on their gut because they have some irritation there. So put them in soups, steam them, and put something flavorful on them. Check the recipe guide because we have some amazing recipes for sauces and toppings that you can put on these. Okay, so we talked to Biliana. Darmani, how are the readings accurate when eating multiple foods at one meal? Yeah, that's a great question. You're not testing an individual food. You're testing a group of foods. So if everything in that meal, if your food sugars don't go up, you kind of figure that everything in that meal was safe, was good. If you have a salad and suddenly you put raisins on the salad and your sugar shoots up, we're going to suspect the raisins. So testing individual single foods is very challenging, but sometimes we have to do it if we're suspicious of a specific food. Good question. Lisa, what's considered low blood sugar? It varies from person to person. High blood sugar is anything that at a fasting level is above 90 is considered high. 90s are borderline high. Over 100 is considered insulin resistance. Low, you know, when you're not on medication, it generally doesn't go too low unless you have reactive hypoglycemia. So for example, if you have a fasting glucose level, let's just say it's 85, and you eat a meal and your sugar goes at the peak, it goes to 110, and then it comes down, and at 2 hours, it's back down to 85, but at 3 hours, it's down to 60. That's called reactive hypoglycemia. And that varies from person to person, like how you feel at certain levels. I've had my glucose go down in the 30s when I'm fasting, and I feel fine. It's in the 30s, and my ketones are in the 6s or 7s. I feel fine. I go running. So that's fine for me. Other people feel shaky and jittery if it goes below 70. So that glucose number, if it goes below 70, you watch to see how you feel. Down to 70 is actually considered ideal. But it's variable. Like if somebody's coming from being diabetic and suddenly their sugar goes down to 80, they could feel bad, shaky, irritable. Good question. Trisha, trying to find foods that cause my blood sugar to spike. I answered that one already. I must have gone backwards. Ree, hi. That's what my family would call me, Ree. I have had very high cholesterol. Can I eat nuts like walnut and Brazil nut as I have hypothyroid? You know, you just have to test and see how you feel with them. Walnuts are really good omega-3 sources. Brazil nuts are phenomenal for thyroid conversion from T4 to T3 because they're high in selenium. And again, here's what we've asked you guys. If you have specific questions about your numbers or about your testing, go ahead and fill out one of those forms. It's on the site where the extras, the very first one. And that way I have I have a lot of information about you, and I don't have to go back and forth and back and forth. Because if you just type a question in, like, I don't know enough about you to know whether walnuts and Brazil nuts, I mean, walnuts and Brazil nuts are not contraindicated for hypothyroid. They're not contraindicated for cholesterol. Depends on how you do it, if are they raw, et cetera, et cetera. All right. We have alkaline phosphatase for a while, too. High alkaline phosphatase can be any number of things, and it needs to be investigated further depending on how high. Alkaline phosphatase high can be a sign of a liver dysfunction. It could be a sign of bone dysfunction. It could be a sign of leaky gut. So it's really a matter, if it's very high, to ask your doctor to do something called isoenzymes, alkaline phosphatase isoenzymes. Elizabeth. Okay, so how effective is the blood glucose device I'm using? Can I share the name? Yes, it's Keto Mojo. And the one I'm using for my glucose is actually, that's the one I think is fine, but I'm using the True2Go, which they don't make strips for anymore. I just happened to get a bunch of strips that are pretty much close to expiring. So I will be using the Keto Mojo. Anybody wants any information about the Keto Mojo or about blood glucose testing, and you're in sweet spot, you go to the glucose testing page, and you go and you look at the chart that I put together, and you look at that, and you get a whole bunch of options and web links and all that comparison. Yeah. And if you're not in Sweet Spot, go to thesweetspotsolution.com, and we'll get you in. Heather, we already answered that. Elizabeth, blood results, and my doc found my iron low and recommended take prescribed iron pills twice a day. He said that my hemoglobin levels were 6.8. Okay, so hemoglobin, not hemoglobin A1C, I'm assuming. Tend to heavy bleed 3 to 4 days of the month. My menstrual periods are almost 9 days, and it's irregular. A few years ago, the gynecologist found polyps and fibroids in the uterine wall. You might be having some bleeding going on. Those heavy menstrual periods, you can do prescribed iron pills, or you can look into some natural alternatives. My favorites tend to be, number one would be an herb that's called yellow dock, and that can be phenomenal at helping you with iron levels. It's also good for skin and liver. And then the other thing that I would I like is personally is one called the vitamin code raw iron. I've seen people double their iron levels in that time. It looks like you have a severe iron deficiency anemia with your hemoglobin levels down that low. And your menstrual periods like that. So there's a lot there, more than we can handle, more than beyond the scope of just Sweet Spot, or I don't know what program you're in. Are you in Body Balance? I would say if you're on Body Balance, come on one of our Body Balance calls, because they're smaller and we can chat about it a little bit further. Lee, I have started taking magnesium bisglycinate, 400 milligrams per good sleep. Sleep is very light, and I feel my brain's awake. Do I need to take the supplement in a specific way? Also, I feel so thirsty that night that keep me awake. Okay, so there's a number of things that can be done here with magnesium. Magnesium isn't the only thing that's going to help with sleep. The sleep module in the Sweet Spot goes into way more detail, so it has to do with how close to bedtime are you using your cell phone, using the computer, watching TV, how light is your environment. There's other herbs. It could be a melatonin imbalance. It could be a cortisol imbalance. So without knowing further, I don't know what to advise you other than, you know, just take the supplement at bedtime. You can also take it in the morning. As far as the thirst, I don't know enough to know how much you're drinking throughout the day. Are your cells actually hydrating themselves? There are some things, there's this thing called rehydration drops that comes from a company. Is it Ecological Formulas? No. I can't remember the name of it. Lynn, if you could put that in the chat, that would be awesome. The rehydration drop link. So that could be helpful. Okay. All right. Any more? I'm refreshing to see if there's any more. I'll look on the... Okay, there's a few more. Okay, let's go here. And I'm going to have, we're way over time. I'm going to have to get off in 5 minutes for another call, but Okay. There's Elizabeth, Tricia. All right. There's the Brazil nut one. There's Rhea on the. Okay. So Linda Lou. Linda Lou. I'm underweight and started using Brain Octane recently. Should I stop using it until starting to gain weight? Again, I haven't tested ketones. I've managed to keep my blood sugar under 110. Well, if you're using Brain Octane, it's extra calories, so I don't see why you'd need to stop it. You just need to look at how can you add some more good calories to your diet. You know, making a really good smoothie where you add a little bit of MCT oil or flax oil or other things like that. And anybody that's overweight, don't listen to me now. It's very different with being underweight and then doing some weight-bearing exercises. Darmani, difference between taking DHA alone or with EPA. You can do it either way. It's really hard to get DHA alone. Some of them are very high DHA, mostly algae sources, but it's best to do them together. Okay, so Bill, Shauna, we answered that question already about the burst exercises. Maria, I sent in a question about blood sugar reflux conflicting, but I didn't hear my name called. It's Maria. I think I went through that. So you sent that in via the form. Let's see. I'll go back to my email. There's Christine. There's Tina. Let's see. Done here. Let me see if I missed hers. There's Barbara, Karen, Bijani, Heather, and let me look again in here. And where did you put that? Lynn, can you check the chat to see if she did that? I don't see anything that we got from you. Let's see. I'm going to do this in order. Yeah, I don't see anything. Oh, there's Denise. Let's see. No, I don't. So why don't you type your question in here? Marila? Yeah, go ahead. And Lynn, if you can see if she's typed anything in the chat. I don't see anything more about that. In regards to the 2-minute burst out of bed before bed, does it differ from the all out 30 seconds? Yeah. So you don't go all out until you make it to 2 minutes. Yeah, exactly. Somebody asked this on the last call. But yeah, you do that. You basically would do a little bit less so that at 2 minutes you're falling down. You know, you're feeling like it's extensive. And that's a good way to start and end the day. Oh boy. Linda Lou, underweight, 86 pounds. I started using Brain Octane. Oh, you asked that one already. Eating about a 1.5 avocado and nuts daily. I don't know that eating MCT oil, we'd have to look at exactly what you're eating, keep track of what you're eating. I would do it in a program like Chronometer, and you're welcome to then upload the report from that or, you know, one of the other programs that show you exactly what you're eating so we can see where we can add some extra to you. And how tall are you? 86 pounds if you're 4'10" is not a big deal, but if you're 5'4", it's a big deal. Denise said she tried plain plain pumpkin seed protein. Used it in green smoothing. Seems to make constipation worse. Now I'm wondering if fiber making constipation worse instead of helping suggestions. Whenever I hear fiber making constipation worse instead of better, I think stomach acid. I think you may have low stomach acid. There's a form, but it's at the end of the program where we have you fill out to see how your digestion's doing. But I think that you may have some low stomach acid. So here's what I would recommend, and anybody can do this because it helps with you, your digestion of protein and minerals, is bitters. You get a good bitters formula as a tincture, or you chew on arugula leaves or dandelion leaves or something like that, but you keep them in your mouth for a good 5 minutes, about 10 minutes before you eat, 5 to 15 is a range. And then what you do is you just let it go, and it stimulates receptors under the tongue that then stimulate not only the production of stomach acid, but also the liver to produce more of the bile and stuff. So that's what I would try. Okay, so you've injured yourself with bursts shoulder stress and sciatica, obviously need to find a way to work with the body. Yes. So watch some of the videos that we have out there of different ways that you can do it. You can do simple things, right? You're just looking for short periods of exercise. Don't push yourself too hard. Just do 30 seconds of exercise and then rest. 30 seconds of exercise and then rest. If you hurt your back and shoulders, then you wouldn't want to be doing jumping jacks, right? But maybe you would want to do, something that's simple. With both shoulder and low back, you're going to have to just let them heal first, right? And then you can start again. But don't overdo it, and look at the videos that we put out there. Oh, Leah, you're so sophisticated. MCT I've read about, C8 or 10, is there a better one? Yeah, so the C8, the shorter one, is supposed to be better, have higher levels of caprylic acid, which could be good for candida and also brain health. Gem, is ketone a 4 or 0.4? 40 on a urine test daily basis. I don't know how to interpret the ketones on the urine test because they're ranges, right? So I usually do the blood, I usually do the finger prick. So if it's just, urine, I don't necessarily trust it. She's saying, how can I do this when I'm still having coconut sugar? My blood glucose is staying in the right place. Should the ketones stay at this level forever? I'm having a hard time knowing how that relates to the blood, because 0.4 is actually below ketosis. It's not in ketosis. And so if your body's not responding by having sugar spikes from the sugar, then it could keep you in a state of ketosis there. I don't know what the question really is. Should they? Is it good for them to stay at this level forever? Or are you saying, should you try to keep it at that level forever? Okay, so Catherine asked her question. Gail, when can blood sugar testing be determined to problematic foods? Yes. With respect to digestion, maybe. It's not going to be really accurate with when you're checking for problematic foods with respect to digestion, you're really going to look at, how do you feel? How are your bowel movements? How about bloating and all that kind of stuff? I just recently got a Fitbit and noticed my heart rate is 60 because I'm physically active and have an athletic heart. However, I looked at my average rate of sleep was 2.5 hours, and I was shocked. I'm not really tired in the morning, but I have a problem going to sleep and staying asleep. I noticed my heart rate increased at night, sometimes 50 to 56, or decreased at night. I'm on NP thyroid, last A1C was 5.2, about 20 pounds overweight. I'm otherwise physically healthy. I need to watch my blood sugars because of family history. A couple of years ago, A1C was 5.7. My question is, do I need to have concern as my heart rate is lower at night? I'm not concerned about lower heart rate at night unless you're feeling weak or dizzy and all that kind of stuff. That's kind of typical. It's going to be lower at night. But we need to work on getting the sleep under control. So I would say, as we look at this stuff, just follow the recommendations. Follow the recommendations and then ask questions if you're following the recommendations and things are going a little bit awry. Barbara, this is best if you ask this on an ERC call, just because without seeing it, Enterobacter is high. This is a GI map test. I'm not familiar with it. I'd really want to see the test in order to be able to interpret it. Bacterioides is low. Enterococcus is high. Cryptosporo was high. Secretory IgA low. So I would say you've got some dysbiosis going on. And we need to talk about how to get you get the flora. I would want to know what's your normal flora, how much bifidobacter, a lot more that I need to know before I can actually help you with that. Barb, the bee lady, I love that. I had a high cholesterol a year and a half ago, not been to the doctor since. Blood work done today. Nurse practitioner said diet looks good. Plant-based whole foods, great. Nervous about high fat triggering high cholesterol. Should I be concerned? Did she test it again? Right? So here's the thing. We can be concerned about things, or we can test and verify. So if indeed with higher fat, you do tend to have your cholesterol go up, then I would say you're going to have to bring it down. So you really need to do a full panel, a full cholesterol panel. Yeah. All right. I think we're almost done. Yay. I got to go. Oops, 6:05. I got to go. I got another call coming in. So thank you, everybody, for being here, for great questions. I'm excited that I made it through all the questions. There were a lot. We've been on for quite a while. I'm going to open up the lines and just say goodbye. Stay put. Just keep coming to the call. Just keep studying. Keep learning. Keep testing. And let's just do this together. All right. Bye, everybody.
Marie.